Live from the Civic Center in Providence, Rhode Island, WSBN Sports presents the 1978 NCAA Collegiate Basketball Championship. Tonight, an Eastern Regional semifinal contest featuring the Blue Devils of Duke and the Quakers of the University of Pennsylvania. Hello again, everyone. This is Stan Lane, along with John Bart, Tony O'Carry, and Bruce Reed. And we're about to bring you all the exciting action as the 10 Quakers make their first trip to the NCAA for 3 years, their first trip to the regional semifinal in 5 years. Yesterday, Tony, semifinal games were played in the Western and Mid-Eastern brackets of the NCAA tournament, and once again, there were several upsets. In addition, we had a fantastic Villanova game here just before this game. Villanova coming from behind to beat Indiana with all the details of the Villanova-Indiana semifinal game, and last night, NCAA Western and Mid-Eastern bracket results. Tony O'Carry.
Well, Stan, that's right. There were many upsets in last night's original semifinal action, but before we get to that, Villanova, everyone here just witnessed a pressure-packed game which left more to be a 9,000 strong sitting on the edge of their seats as Villanova, trailing 43-35 at halftime to the Hoosiers of Indiana, came back and rallied to beat Indiana 61-60. And for Villanova, Steve Hannon, the big star, had 19 points at halftime, finished with 23 points. Reggie Robinson and Rory Sparrow each had 12 to face Villanova. For the Hoosiers of Indiana, Wayne Radford, who also had 19 at the half, he had 22, and Mike Woodson had 24. But it wasn't enough. As Villanova was able to rally and beat the Hoosiers 61-60 and move into the regional finals, which will be Sunday against Hercules 10. This game right now between Penn and Duke will be the decider of who will play that game. The other Big East semifinal action last night, Michigan State beat Western Kentucky 90-69. Michigan State came coming into the game 24-4. Western Kentucky 16-15. So I would have to say that the favorite team won that game. That is Kentucky, who was also a favorite team, Miami of Ohio. Kentucky 25-2, beating Miami of Ohio 19-18 by a 91-69 score. The upset came from Western Region semifinals in Arkansas, who finished the year 29-3, down UCLA by 4, 74-70. UCLA continues to be 64-2. And the biggest story, I guess, of the entire NCAA playoffs has been Cal State of Fullerton, who beat last night University of San Francisco, Cal State of Mexico, in the opening round, and then they went to Cal last night, 75-72. So that's about it.
Tony, 6'6" and a half out of New York City, and he shakes hands at center court with Gene Banks. Gene Banks, the freshman sensation for the Blue Devils out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He's 6'7", 205, and he played for West Philly, where he was a teammate of Jimmy Smith. Out for the Quakers, Kevin McDonald, their captain, number 40, McDonald, 6'5" and a half. And he's met at center court by Kenny Gennard. Gennard, a 6'7", 200-pound freshman for the Blue Devils out of South Coast, North Carolina. Out at center for the Quakers, Matt White. White goes at 6'9", and he is met out at center by Mike Gavinsky. Gavinsky, the sophomore, 6'11", 245. Second leading scorer for the Blue Devils, their leading rebounder with 19.9 points per game and 10.1 rebounds per game. He's from Monroe, Connecticut. Out of guard for the Quakers, Stan Green. Green from Germantown High in Philadelphia. He's 6'3", and he's met by Johnny Harrell. Harrell, a sophomore, 6'0", 170 out of Durham, North Carolina. He's scoring at 5 points per game and 1 rebound per game, but he gets a lot of attention. For the Quakers, their point guard, Bobby Willis, out of Monroe High School in New York City, number 32. He goes about 6'1", and he matches off with Jim Spinarco, the leading scorer for Duke, at 20.8 points per game, 3.3 rebounds. He's 6'5", 190 pounds out of Jersey City. Well, Tony, we should mention that we were told that Spinarco did not practice all week. He's got a bad ankle. Now, my experience is that you can take these things with a year before a tournament and just forget them. Because for me, the guy is probably going to come out and have a great game. Well, the word is that he was injured coming in.
Well, you have to wonder if this is a trick by Bob Foster, the coach of Duke, or if this is really true, and we're going to see if this ankle injury or supposed ankle injury is going to play a big part in the game. I had also heard that Johnny Harrell, who is the other guard on the team, had also been suffering from ankle problems. So, again, we'll see if that plays a big factor in the game. Just before we start, I want to mention that Penn has had nine previous meetings with Duke in on the court, and Penn holds the commanding 6-3 advantage. The last time they met was in 1972, where the Quakers beat the Blue Devils 50-49 in overtime at Durham. So we'll be looking to see if Penn can keep their commanding edge over Duke and hopefully advance to the finals in this regional.
We're set for the first half of action here from the regional semifinals in Providence, Rhode Island. You're listening to WXPN in Philadelphia. This is Stan Lane along with John Bart, Tony Ogeri, and Bruce Rudy. And we are set for the opening tip-off. Teams match up at center court. It will be White jumping center against the big guy, Mike Kaminsky. Kaminsky, a 6'11 sophomore. He weighs 245 pounds. And he, well, what can you say? He's a giant out there, Tony.
And he can be a dominating force. We'll have to look to see if Matt White can neutralize him.
All right, we're getting set to go on the tip. Kaminsky controls the tip, gets to the bank, quickly to Denard, right side, back to Banks, to Denard on the baseline, throws outside the Banks, top of the key to Howell, comes to Banks, right side, gives off to Denard, Denard circles to his left, Quakers are in the man-to-man, Green is now watching Johnny Howell, Howell will circle to his left, pass right side to Kaminsky, way outside, down, right corner, and comes inside the Banks, turnaround is no good, rebound by Matt White. Gives off to Wallace. Wallace across the midcourt line. Long pass intended for McDonald. Goes out of bounds, but it was deflected on a Duke player's hand, and it's going to be Quaker ball.
Well, the Quakers are playing a man-to-man defense out there and seem to be sagging and picking up the opening for the opening open man well, and it's paid off as they were able to get that ball back and come back down court.
Willis gets it back from Green. Puts it up. It's good. Bobby Willis gets the first Quaker basket. The Quaker sideline explodes with streamers. 19-24, left first half. Quakers lead it by the score of 2-0. Bobby Willis on the bucket from Stan Green.
Fine pass from Stan Green, setting up Bobby Willis on the left side. And Willis just popping from about 20. And Willis can really be explosive offensively if he's hot. And we'll hope that he can carry the Quakers here in the opening minutes of play.
But Uncle will inbound to Johnny Harrell. Harrell will bring it up before. Duke guards, they're good shooters, but they're not superb ball handlers, especially Spinardo. Now Harrell gives it across to Kaminsky, top of the key, right side to Harrell, down low, right corner. To Denard comes to Kaminsky at the foul line. The jumper is good. Kaminsky over White from the foul line. 20-foot turnaround is good. Quickers and Blue Devils tied it to Willis on the forecourt right side. He's watched by Harrell. Harrell circles to his left. Bounce pass to Green. Green gives it to Price. Left side, long jumper. Good! Tony Price! And the Quakers lead it 4-3.
Quakers are sticking to their game plan of trying to hit the man for an outside, a good outside jumper. And once again, Tony Price getting the opening shot and hitting.
Harrell gives it to Denard, left side. He's watched by McDonald. Now it comes to Spinardo. Spinardo pass to Harrell. Jumper from the right side. It's no good. Rebound by White. That's two on the night for White. Quakers bring it back up the floor. It's Willis across the midcourt line. Stops at the foul line. Drives right side of the lane. Gives inside McDonald. Outside to Green for a jumper. That is no good. Rebounded by Gene Banks, away from Price, and Banks will work it up the floor to Johnny Harrell. Harrell on the backcourt throws left side to Denard. Denard goes into the foul line to Harrell. Now it comes baseline to Banks. Inside, Kaminsky over White. Layup no good. Rebound, Matt White. He's got three on the night. Willis will bring it up the floor quickly. Willis stops at the foul line, takes the jumper, goes left side to Green. His jumper is no good. Rims the basket. And the rebound is taken by Kaminsky away from White. Quick outlet pass ahead to Spinardo. Spinardo drives the foul line. Now he's stopped. Double teamed by Green and Willis. Was off to Harrell. Over to Kaminsky at the foul line. Down low to Denard. He missed it. But a foul on the play. It wasn't Denard. It was Spinardo with the miss. And McDonald picks up a personal foul. And Spinardo will go to the line shooting two.
Kaminsky was able to find Spinardo right underneath the bucket. And there was not much Kevin McDonald could do. He had a foul. But Stan, I've got to be surprised at the fact that Mike Kaminsky has been coming up to the high post a lot and not going down low where he can really be effective against Matt White, with whom he holds a little bit of a height advantage.
Height and weight. Spinardo's foul shot is good. The Quakers lead it 4-3, 17-51 to go first half. Spinardo will get another. Second shot by Spinardo is also good. We're tied at 4. White will inbound to Willis. Willis will work it up the floor. Set pass is back to White. White ahead to Price. Long pass to the forecourt to Green. He turns away from Denard. Denard hits it from behind, out of bounds, and Quakers will get it in the forecourt. He'll inbound on the right sideline.
The Blue Devils there were employing a forecourt press, but the Quakers with some fine passing were able to break it and bring the ball right up court.
Blue Devils in a 2-3 zone here.
and comes to Willis over to McDonald, left side. He throws it out of bounds, but it was tipped by Gene Banks. Quakers will get it back underneath the Duke basket. We've got 17:38 to go, and we're tied at four. Willis will look to inbound for the Quakers. He's got Green standing top of the key, and Sid finds Price left sideline over to Green, back to Willis in the corner, fakes the jumper, now he'll take it. It is no good. Rebound by White, layup no good. Rebound McDonald, no good. Rebound by Gaminsky. Gaminsky outlet pass to Spinard, going to lose Willis at the midcourt line. Now he loses it momentarily, picked up by Harrell. Harrell circles to his right, drives the lane, passes outside the banks. Now Willis throws it away, intercepted by Bobby Willis. Quakers will bring it back up the floor. Willis late tosses down the backcourt, across the midcourt line. Long pass down low to Green. His shot is blocked by Gaminsky and goes out of bounds.
Lou Dell seems to be employing a 2-1-2 defense, and so far they've held the Quakers to a lot of outside shots and not allowed them to come inside.
Willis will inbound, look for McDonald underneath the basket. Instead finds Green right sideline. Green backs it out. Now right corner to Willis. He's watched by Denard. Throws inside to White. White spins on Gaminsky. And as he does, he was fouled from behind by Kenny Denard. And the Quakers will inbound. That was the first team foul on the Blue Devils and the first personal on Kenny Denard.
Okay, well, Matt White, I think the Quakers got a little lucky there. Matt White, who tried to drive baseline, looked to me as he might have stepped out of bounds. I don't quite know, but Quakers got a little break there. The foul was committed just before he stepped out.
Willis inbounds to Price, gets it over to Green, left side to McDonald, head of the circle, goes up to his left to Willis. Now Willis will circle to his right, stops at the top of the key, finds Price right sideline, 15 feet out. He turns on Harrell, now a fake a shot, look for McDonald, it comes inside, White layup, it's no good. It bounces out, Spinarkle comes up with a loose ball, turns away from Green, and he'll work it up the floor. Spinarkle to the forecourt, long pass ahead to Gaminsky, back to Spinarkle for a jumper for 20, and it's no good, hits the front of the rim, rebounded by Bobby Willis. Willis up the court quickly, Quaker's going to try and run on the Blue Devils. Willis goes all the way to the hoop, misses the easy shot, rebound is taken by Denard. Denard now throws it into Spinarkle, long pass up court to Gene Banks. Banks turns on Price, fires, it's good.
And Sam, we're seeing a lot of ragged sway here.
Long pass down court to McDonald. Quakers throw 6-4. McDonald spins and hits. McDonald from 15 feet out, left side, ties the score at 6. We've got 16:10 to go, first period. Johnny Harrell will work it out of backcourt. Watch by Green. Finds Denard. It comes to Banks at the foul line. Jumper no good off the back of the rim. Rebounded by Banks. Also shot did not go. And we've got a foul on the play by Banks on the rebound. And he fouls Tony Price. Quakers will get it in the backcourt. Second team foul for the Blue Devils. First personal on Gene Banks.
As I said, Sam, the game is starting to get a little ragged. Both teams seem to be running at will. And there's a lot of bad passes, a lot of long passes that possibly should never have been made. And play seems to be getting very ragged.
Green gives it into Willis. Willis dribbles up court with the left hand. Now he'll circle to his left, hold it away from Spinarkle, bounces into White. White can handle it. Banks comes up with the loose ball. He'll feed it out to Spinarkle. Spinarkle will break it out of backcourt. Long pass down court to Gaminsky. Layup good. Gotta watch that. Gaminsky got behind White, and the Blue Devils lead it 8-6, 15:34 remaining in the first half. Willis out of the backcourt with the left hand. Gaminsky with 4 points. Now Willis throws across the Green, down left sideline to McDonald, looks for White underneath, instead finds Willis at the top of the key. Long pass down to White, layup good. Matt White for Bobby Willis.
Fine play by Bobby Willis, finding Matt White all alone underneath, and Matt White was able to convert to get the bucket.
White has a deuce on the night. It comes to Denard. Denard over to Banks at the foul line. Jumper is short, rebounded by McDonald away from Gaminsky. Now it's loose, taken at the foul at the midcourt line by Spinarkle. Long pass down to Gaminsky. Misses the layup, but his cap is good.
And they can't leave Mike Gaminsky all alone underneath that bucket, or he's going to convert every time.
6 points for Gaminsky as Willis controls in the fourth court. Quakers trail by 2, 10-8. It comes to Price. Price back to Willis. They'll work it outside. Quakers will set it up again. Willis left side, holds away from Spinarkle. Pass over to Green, right side to Price. Price backs in on Bender, who was reported in for Duke, but the ball was tipped out of bounds. Bender into the game for Duke. He replaced, let's see who he replaced. He replaced Johnny Howell, and now into the game replacing Mike Gaminsky. There's number 44, Scott Konich.
I've got to say, that's got to be a little bit of a break for the Quakers as Gaminsky leaves the 6'11 big centerman. And they've got a little bit better of a height advantage.
Price throws outside McDonald, who has been shut out so far tonight. McDonald spins, now will put it up, it's good. McDonald wasn't shut out so far. He's got 2 buckets for 4 points.
They're going to look to Kevin McDonald for most of the game for their clutch scoring. And right there, he was able to tie the game by converting an outside jumper.
Score is tied at 10, 14:20 to go. As Banks comes down, there's a foul on the play. It was Denard fouled by... Let's wait and see who they put it up. It's on Kevin McDonald. This is his second personal, the second team foul against the Quakers.
and the Blue Devils will win down. We've got a timeout on the floor with the score. Pennsylvania 10, Duke University 10. This broadcast is authorized under broadcast rights granted by the NCAA through Jim Host and Associates Incorporated, Lexington, Kentucky, solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. Any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express written consent of Jim Host and Associates Incorporated and the NCAA, 512 East Main Street, Lexington, Kentucky, 40508, is prohibited.
And you know, Stan, the Quakers are going to have to be very careful with the fouls as they commit this game. During the regular season, Duke was the leader in the nation in foul shot percentage with a 78.6% from the foul line. So the Quakers are going to have to be very careful with the fouls they commit. We know Matt White has a propensity to get into foul trouble very early, and he's going to have to be careful because every time he commits a foul, that's almost a sure 2 points for the Blue Devils.
Tony, the Quakers got away lucky in that department last Sunday because the Bonnies were a very good shooting team from the foul line, especially Greg Sanders. And Sanders missed his first four chances from the foul line in the first half. Several misses from the foul line for the Bonnies in the first half. Well, the Quakers really could have been out of the game at halftime.
The opening minutes of play, the first 5 minutes, seem to be characterized by a little raggedness, but I think we can attribute that to the opening game jitters of a regional semifinal game. Hopefully now the jitters have been gone, the butterflies will be gone, and both teams can settle down and play a deliberate type defense and offensive game.
Quakers looking for that length of the court pass after made buckets. That's what they worked so effectively against St. Bonaventure. Timmy Smith in the game replacing Kevin McDonald for the Quakers. As Denard inbounds to Spinarco outside to Bender. Bender holds it away from Willis. Now he throws left corner over to Kenny Denard. Denard works it back outside to Bender. He'll dribble it into the 5 second area. Now he throws long pass in the corner. Spinarco watched by Smith. Quakers are in a zone. It's a 2-3 zone. It comes outside to Bender. Bender holds it away from McGreen. Now it comes to Goach. Goach gives it to Bender down right sideline to Spinarco. Spinarco finds Banks. Long pass inside to Goach. He'll dribble outside. It comes top of the key to Bender. Bender holds it away from Willis. Quakers look very effective in their zone as Denard passes it over to Goach. Goes cross court to Spinarco. Spinarco top of the key to Bender. His long jumper is good. And we've got a whistle on the play. Let's see if the basket's going to count. Well, they haven't put it up yet. Now they do. The basket will count. Plus, the Blue Devils will get the ball on a foul away from the basket. Foul committed by Timmy Smith. That's his first 13 foul. We ought to mention, Tony, that Bob Bender is a transfer from Indiana where he played on their national championship team 2 years ago. Comes in to Bender. Blue Devils have the ball. They lead by 2, 12-10. Bender gets it outside from Spinarco. Now he'll dribble twice. Finds Spinarco left side. Watch by Price. Comes outside to Bender. Goes cross court to Denard. Back to Bender. Over to Spinarco. Left side jumper is good.
And you know, Stan, it's really a shame that Duke got 4 points on this trip up court because the Quaker defense was very stingy.
Smith from Willis, a great play. Smith went back door, got the layup. Quakers trail by 2, 14-12, 15-11 left in the first half. Bender spins away from Green. And we've got a foul called on Stan Green for reaching in. And the Blue Devils will throw it in on the near sideline.
Stan Green reaching in, trying to steal the ball away from Bender, and got a little bit too rambunctious and fouled him, and Duke will inbound the ball from the side court.
Green's first personal was the 14th foul against the Quakers. Denard will throw it in for Duke. McDonald sitting on the bench for Pennsylvania. Denard finds Spinarco. Spinarco looks down low to Bender, throws outside to Spinarco, standing around the three-point rim that they've got on this court here in Providence, goes across to Bender. Bender goes long cross-court pass to Denard, drives on Smith. Now Denard, back pass to Banks, gets up a shot that drops. Crazy shot for Gene Banks, but it drops, and the Blue Devils lead it by 4, 16-12. Willis out of the backcourt, right hand finds Green, right side. He looks into a 2-3 Duke zone. Now Willis will drive the hoop, put it up, it's good! Bobby Willis carries to the hoop, draws the Quakers to within 2, and that's 4 points on the night for Willis. Bender circles on the forecourt with the right hand, holds it away from Green, throws right side to Spinarco. He jumps over Willis, long shot by Spinarco, a short rebound by White. That's his fourth rebound in the game. Long outlet pass to Willis to drive the hoop again, gives off to Green, layup no good, rebound break no good, but we've got a foul underneath, and it's going to be on Kenny Denard.
And Bobby Willis has really been doing the job for the Quakers offensively on the last two rushes up the court. The the last rush he made, he went around three defensive players and was able to go in for the score. And this time, he eluded two players and was able to make a fine pass off to Timmy Smith. And Timmy Smith went up with the shot and was fouled. Dan Green got, or went up with the shot and missed. Dan Green got the rebound and was fouled, and he'll be on the line shooting two, I think.
McDonald reports in for the Quakers, replacing Matt White. Matt sits down with 2 points on 1-for-3 shooting from the floor, but he has at least 4 rebounds so far. Green's foul shot is good. Quakers trail by 1, 16-15. First point of the night for Stan Green.
Stan Green is a 79% free throw shooter, so he's the type of man the Quakers want on the line right now.
Second shot coming for Green. It's good, and we're tied at 16 with 12-17 left in the first half. Quakers trapped in the backcourt. Smith steals the inbound. Quakers have it from forecourt. Give it over to Green. Green back to Frank. Over to Green. It comes outside to Willis. Willis will hold it up. Quakers will set it up. Duke in a 2-3 zone. Willis will circle to his left. He finds Frank at the foul line. Cross court to Green for a jumper. It's good. Pennsylvania leads 18-16. 11:56 to go. First half, and that's 4 points on the line for Stan Green.
And the Quakers' aggressive defense set that play up as they pressed, stole the ball, and were able to convert.
Jim Suttis now in the game for Duke. Goes outside to Banks. His long jumper is no good. It's the back of the iron. Rebounded by Timmy Smith, his former West Philadelphia teammate. Willis now goes feed to Price. He missed the layup, but he was fouled on the play by Banks. And Price will go to the line shooting two.
And Timmy Smith reminded me of David Thompson trying for that rebound there, as he just went up and almost touched the roof as he pulled that one down. And, Stan, I've got to think that playing against his West Philly teammate, Gene Banks, is stimulating him, or shall we say psyched him for this game, so that he's going to really be up for it to show the West Philly fans that are in the stands and are watching on TV that are listening to the game on radio that he's just as good as Gene, or at least one heck of a ball player also.
Well, in the spectrum doubleheader in which Gene Banks got so much press, Timmy Smith, also of West Philadelphia, came off the bench for the Quakers against Furman and scored 16 points, pulled down 6 rebounds, and had his best game of the season.
And you know, Stan, Tim Smith is an integral part of this Quaker staff, this Quaker squad. As Bob Weinauer substitutes very freely, and guys like Smith and Crowley are going to be used a lot.
Sorry, we should mention that Duke called timeout. That's the timeout on the floor. And, you know, the Duke has used 8 players in the game so far. We really only expected them to use 6, the starting 5 and Bender. Apparently, they scouted the St. Bonaventure game pretty well because the Bonnies were really hurt when they only used 6 players.
Well, I think that's the reason why the Quakers were able to beat the Bonnies. As you know, the first half was all Bonaventure, but as the Quakers were able to substitute freely and the St. Bonaventure starting 5 got very tired, the Quakers took command of the game and eventually won. We'll see if that holds true here, as Duke seems to be substituting a little bit more liberally than St. Bonaventure had.
Tony, the term student-athlete epitomizes participation in intercollegiate athletics while pursuing a college education. Each year, 80 NCAA postgraduate scholarships worth $1,500 each are awarded to student-athletes who have maintained at least a B average throughout their college careers. Well, the presentation of this year's 15 scholarships for basketball, the NCAA has presented nearly $1.1 million to 992 student-athletes. Tony Price hits the first foul shot. Quakers lead it by 3, 19-16. We've got some more substitutions in the game for Duke, as they now have their starting 5 in, and Price has one more shot coming. Shot by Price is good. Quakers lead by 4, 20-16. 4 points on the night for Tony Price. Spinerico double-teamed in the backcourt, gets it ahead to Kaminsky, goes cross-court to Harrell, who's working across the midcourt line. Crowley in the game now for Pennsylvania. Pass comes inside to Kaminsky. Stolen away by Willis. Finds Price. Quakers break it back up the floor. Long pass down court to McDonald. Saves it on the end line, but throws it away. Intercepted by Spinarco. Will bring it back up the floor. Over to Harrell. Right side. Fakes a jumper. Watched by Price. And Smith takes it away. Warren lead pass to Crowley. He'll go in for a layup. That is good. Quakers lead it by 6. 22-16. 11-4 left. First bucket of the night for Tom Crowley. Harrell in the forecourt for the Blue Devils, circles to his right. Now gives off to Denard on the left. It comes to Spinarco. He cuts the foul line away from Wolf. Finds Denard. Left side jumper is good.
And you know, Stan, Bob Weinauer is employing the Quakers' small team, and they seem to be getting a lot of quick buckets.
One pass down court for McDonald. He misses the layup, then Gaminski controls the rebound. The Blue Devils are working back up the floor. Quakers lead it by four, 22-18. Harrell finds Bernard Carollo, left side jumper, rims the basket, no good. Rebounded by Banks. His hook with the right hand is good.
Fine individual effort by Team Banks. He just out-rebounded Kevin McDonald, went up with the shot and hit. And it looks like the Duke team is just about to make wholesale changes. They sent five guys over to the scorer's table, and they're waiting for the next stoppage of play.
Willis brings it up the floor as White gets ready to report back in from the Quakers. We're going to have five substitutions for the Blue Devils at the next whistle as Price jumps over Gaminski. It is no good. Rebounded by Harrell. Loses it to Smith. Smith drives the hook. Gets off to McDonald. Hook is no good. Rebounded by Harrell. Harrell will work it up the floor quickly for the Blue Devils. He's fouled from behind by Bobby Willis. Pushing off, and so the Blue Devils were inbound as the Quakers were not over the limit, and they bring in five new players. Let's try and get the ball. They bring in Harold Morrison, Steve Gray, Scott Doakes, Bob Bender, and let's see, the fourth player is Jim Suttis. So they've got five new players in the game for the Quakers. Jimmy Saunders has replaced Bobby Willis. And Matt White replaces Tony Price. It comes to Gray. Gray gives it off to Goach. Goach right side to Suttis. Suttis will work it back outside for Goach. Top of the key. Left side, Gray. Gray throws down low to Bender. Jumper baseline is no good. Rebound is grabbed by Crowley. He falls down. Bender comes up with it. I can't believe they didn't call a walk. And it comes outside to Gray as the Blue Devils will set it up again. Bender will hold it outside. Throws right sideline to Suttis. Down low to Morrison, outside to Gray. Gray left side, throws outside to Bender, directing the offense. It comes to Suttis, right side. Quakers in a 2-1-2. Suttis, right side jumper is good. Jim Suttis ties the game at 22. And they rule that White's put 5 seconds on the inbound, and they turn it over.
And you know, Stan, the Blue Devils are certainly substituting a lot more than we had expected, making wholesale changes here, and this young team seems to... The new fresh team seems to be very aggressive in creating defensive mistakes.
Suttis throws down low to Morrison in the inside to Goach. He misses the easy layup. Now he gets his own rebound, pulls him outside, over to Bender, cross court to Gray. We have tied at 22 with 9 minutes to go first half, as Tony Price gets ready to report back in for the Quakers. Morrison gets it over to Suttis. Now comes to Gray, left side, jumper over Crowley is no good. Rebounded by Matt White. That's at least five on the night for Matty. And Saunders will work it out of the backcourt. Long pass at the Crowley, jumper, sideline, good! Crowley with a 20-footer puts the Quakers back on top by two.
And the Quakers are going to certainly need Tommy Crowley's hot hand if they want to advance to the finals in this region.
Bender throws down low for Morrison. His turnaround is no good, taken by Matt White. White gets it out to Saunders. Saunders will break it across the midcourt line, stops at the top of the key, bounce pass to Crowley. This time he takes the jumper, throws down low, McDonald, no good. Shot by McDonald was short, rebounded by Scott Coach. And Goach will start it up, which is now he gives over to Suttis as the Blue Devils get set to send in another five new players. It comes to Bender, left side. Bender throws back outside to Gray. Gray back to Bender, where the Quakers lead it by two, 24-22, 8:01 to go. First half in the Eastern Regional semifinal. Gray drives on Smith. Now he loses it momentarily, recovers, throws back outside to Bender, right side to Suttis. Over to Gray, left side, watched by Smith, inside goes down low to Harold Morrison, and he misses the layup, but he was fouled on the play, and let's see who they call it on. If it's on McDonald, it's going to be a big foul.
I think it's on Jimmy Smith, Stan.
Both Smith and McDonald there, they call the foul on Smith.
And you know, Stan, that was a good foul by Jimmy Smith, because he realized that his man had beaten him, was right under the bucket, and he fouled him and made sure that the shot was not made. If that would have been a three-point play, it could have hurt the Quakers, as it would have put the Blue Devils in the lead. But he made sure his man did not make the shot, and it was a good all-around play by Jimmy Smith.
Sixth foul, team foul by the Quakers, and the next one will put them over the limit. In this case, Morrison shooting two hits the first. And the score is 24-23, Pennsylvania, with 7:48 left.
Harold Morrison, a 73% foul shooter.
Second shot coming from Morrison. It was the second personal on Sidney Smith. Shot by Morrison is good. We're tied at 24. And we've got, well, it looked like they were going to call a timeout, but it's not going to be timeout. Quakers will inbound in the backcourt. Final substitution being made as Morrison goes to the bench, replaced by Gene Banks. The starting lineup back in for the Blue Devils. Quakers go with Saunders, Crowley, White, Price, and Smith. Saunders out in the backcourt with the right hand. Works it across the timeline. Watched by Johnny Harrell. Now he'll drive the baseline. Loses it to Harrell, but White recovers. Now Harrell takes it away from White. We've got a foul on the play. And it's going to be against James Saunders reaching in on Johnny Harrell, and that was a bad play because Harrell is now going to go to the line shooting 1-1 as the Quakers are over the limit.
Well, Sam, James Saunders tried to drive the left side and momentarily lost the ball, and in his anxiety to try to get the ball back, he committed the foul, and now the Blue Devils are going to be in the 1-1 situation.
We have a score from the Midwestern Regional. It is DePaul 82, Louisville 82, and they are at the end of the first overtime. As Johnny Harrell goes to the line for Duke, the score is tied at 24, 7:35 to go first half. You're listening to this game on WXPN in Philadelphia. Harrell misses the opening end of the 1-1 Crowley rebound for Pennsylvania, and we've got a foul on the plate. They know it's foul, and Crowley going for the rebound. So the Quakers will get in the backcourt, as that was only the fifth team foul against the Blue Devils. Third personal on Denard, however. Really, the Blue Devils do not have an experienced frontline player to put in if Denard fouls out. They have been using substitutes in this game, but those guys really haven't played a lot, Tony.
That's very true, Stan. And in playoff action, you want those veterans to come in there and do the job for you.
Willis finds White, but we've got a whistle on the plate. Pushing off is called, and let's see, it's either Kaminsky or Harrell. They call it on Johnny Harrell. And that will be the sixth team foul on the Blue Devils. Next one will put them over the limit. And it's the first personal on John Harrell.
And Stan, Kevin McDonald comes back into the game to replace Timmy Smith. And, you know, I think it's a little bit incredible that the Quakers are tied here with the Blue Devils. And Kevin McDonald really has had a lot of trouble offensively for the Quakers. The last three times down the floor, he's missed very easy shots, and shots that he doesn't usually miss. And they seem to make up for his lack of scoring ability at the outset here.
Willis gives in to Crowley. Crowley standing near center court, dribbles away from Spinarkle. The Blue Devils selling back at the 2-3 zone. It comes to McDonald. McDonald lost it, picked up by Kaminsky. Almost loses the White, but Kaminsky gets it over to Harrell, who works it out of the backcourt. Harrell finds Banks right side, throws outside to Harrell, top of the key. Quakers in a 2-3 zone. Actually, looks more like a 2-1-2. It comes to Kaminsky down low, throws outside to Harrell, takes the stutter step, no call. It comes to Spinarkle, back to Harrell, over to Spinarkle, left side. Harrell, top of the key, right side to Denard. Over to Harrell for a jumper, and the head of the circle is good.
Johnny Harrell taking a good jumper there at the top of the key and just swishing it through as Duke now takes the lead at 26-24.
Willis in the forecourt finds McDonald, left side, throws away from Harrell, over to Price. Price threw it away, intercepted by Banks. Banks gets it ahead to Spinarkle. Spinarkle drives on Crowley. Now he'll jump it. No good. Hit the back of the rim. McDonald behind the back dribble, out of the backcourt, gets it ahead to Crowley. Lead pass. Crowley goes in for layup. It's good, and he was fouled on the play.
Excellent play by Kevin McDonald. After having a little trouble offensively, he stole the pass there, dribbled down court, looked the other way, and threw it over to Crowley, who was wide open and made the easy lay.
More importantly, Tony, the foul was called on Kenny Denard, and that is his fourth foul of the game for Denard, and we've got 6:17 left in the first half.
So that certainly should be a factor in the game, as I don't think right now any of the Quakers are in foul trouble.
Crowley can put the Quakers up by one here, but he misses the foul shot, rebounded by Banks. We're not at 26, 6:13 to go first half. It comes to Johnny Harrell. Harrell moves in on Willis. Now Crowley comes out to lend a hand. Harrell bounce passes into Banks. Price goes for the steal, but Banks gets by and passes down low to Spinarkle. Layup good.
Fine play by Gene Banks, finding Spinarkle wide open underneath, and the Quakers are going to have to tighten up their defense and not allow that to happen.
McDonald spins on Kaminsky, but they call it for Seth. Quakers turn it over.
And you know, Stan, the Quakers might be falling into a little bit of a problem here. When Kevin McDonald isn't hot, he sometimes gets a little bit reluctant to take shots, and they're going to need him to take a lot of shots because he's their offensive threat. And if he is reluctant to take shots, they might fall into a little bit of a problem.
Jim Sunnis has replaced Kenny Denard in the game for Duke. Now Sunnis controls right side, watched by McDonald. Back pass outside to Spinarkle, over to Harrell, left side to Banks, watched by Price, throws over Price down to Kaminsky, but we've got a foul on the play. It's going to be on Matty White. And for Matt, that is only his first personal foul. It comes with 5:38 left in the first half. The Quakers are over the limit, so Kaminsky will be going to the line shooting 1-1. And on the season, Kaminsky of Duke is an 83.8% foul shooter, connecting on 134 out of 160 attempts.
And you know, Stan, Matt White's going to have to be careful because Duke is enjoying a tremendous height advantage, and he's going to have to stay in there if the Quakers want to stay in this game.
Kaminsky misses, and White tips the rebound over to Price. The head to Willis out of the backcourt, drives right side, bounce pass inside for White. Layup is no good. Rebound by White drops. And we've got a foul on the play, and it looks like they're going to count the basket. Let's wait and see.
I don't know, the basket was laying there on the rim and then seemed to fall in very late. I don't know if they're going to count it or not.
All right, the basket will not count. And White will go to the line shooting. It should be 1-1 if the basket doesn't count.
Ben, what they call on that play, and the reason it's a two-shot foul, is his first shot is where they call the shooting foul, and it did not drop.
White misses the first free throw attempt. Quakers continue to trail by two. Thank you, John. As White will get one more.
Dan, Matt White's a 54% foul shooter, so he's really having some trouble from the foul line this year.
Second one is also no good. Rebounded by Gominski. Quick outlet pass to Harrell. Harrell will break out of backcourt. Watchman behind by Crowley. Harrell drives the lane, but he's going to be called for steps. And let's see. No, they call that the other way. Foul from behind on Tommy Crowley. And for Crowley, that is his first personal foul, as we've got a timeout on the floor. What's the score? Pennsylvania 26, Duke 28. John Bart, you can read the scores so far in the first half.
For the Quakers, it's pretty interesting. In fact, for both teams, it's pretty interesting, Stan, because nobody on the floor has more than 6 points at this time. For the Quakers, McDonald is not having one of his better games, shooting 2-for-7 from the floor, making that 2-for-6 for 4 points, two personal fouls. Tony Price really hasn't been going to the basket as much as we'd like to see him. He's only taken two shots. He's 1-for-2 and 2-for-2 from the line for four. Bobby Willis was very strong, 2-for-4 from the floor for four. Matt White is 1-for-3 from the floor, 0-for-2 from the line for two. Stan Green is 1-for-3 from the floor, 2-for-2 from the line for four. Tommy Crowley is 3-for-3 from the floor, 0-for-1 from the line for six. Timmy Smith, 1-for-4 for 2, with a total of 26. The Blue Devils, Gene Banks is shooting 3-for-8 for 6 points. Harrell is 1-for-2, 0-for-1 from the line for 2. Denard is 1-from-the-floor for 2. Bernarco also has taken quite a few shots. He's 2-for-6, 2-for-2 from the line for 6. Mike Kaminsky is 3-for-5 from the floor, 0-for-1 from the line for 6. Bender, 1-for-3 from the floor for 2. Gray is 0-for-1 for 0. Morrison, 2-for-the-line for 2. And Sutter, 1-from-the-floor for 2 for their total of 28.
The Blue Devils have to be very happy about leading in this game, considering the amount of time they've gone with substitutes who do not see a lot of action. Johnny Harrell will be at the line looking to increase what is currently a two-point margin.
And Stan, Johnny Harrell's an 80% foul shooter, so he's one of those guys that was enabled Duke to lead the nation this year in foul shooting, and they're going to have to keep guys like him off the line if they want to win this game.
He cans the front end of the 1-1. He'll get another as the Blue Devils lead by 3, 29-26. Waiting for the second shot here. Harrell bounces it a few times. Now we'll put it up. It is good, and the Blue Devils take a four-point lead. The 30-26, 4 points on the night for Johnny Harrell. Green will inbound to Willis. Quakers go with Green, Willis, White, McDonald, and Price. That is the starting lineup. Willis brings it out of the backcourt, right side, watched by Johnny Harrell. Now looks to drive on Harrell. He will drive the lane, dishes off to White for a layup. That's good. Matt White scores. Quakers trail by two. 30-28, 5:03 left, first half. 4 points on the night for White. Harrell in the forecourt jumps. Barely, instead he passes off the bank, goes by Price, lays it in, and it's not going to count. They call Gene Banks for trebling, and the Quakers will get it back on the turnover. Third turnover on the half against Duke.
And Stan, I've got to attribute that traveling to the stingy defense of the Quakers. Since the opening minutes of the game, they've been employing a 2-3 zone defense, and they have not allowed Duke much movement inside. And as a consequence, Duke has been taking many outside shots and not good percentage shots.
Blue Devils now in a man-to-man as Willis gives off to White. White over to Price, drives the baseline right side, spins on Banks, holds away from Banks, goes outside the green for a jumper that is no good at the back of the rim. Rebounded by Price, turnaround from the foul line. It's good! Tony Price ties the game at 30. And we've got 4:31 left in the first half. 6 points on the night for Price as Bob Bender, the Indiana transfer, will work it out of the backcourt. Watched by McDonald, finds Spinarco for a down low to Gominsky over White. No good. Rebound taken by McDonald. Quakers have a chance to go in front here as McDonald holds in the backcourt for Willis. Willis will work it out across the timeline, shouting instructions. Now he'll circle through his left. Dribbling it with the left hand, looks for White at the foul line, instead finds Green, right side, he gives it, right side, he gives it to White at the foul line, throws it into the left corner to Willis. makes a jump over Harold, drives the hoop, puts it up, it's batted away by Gaminski, but we've got a foul on the play, and it's going to be on Johnny Harold. Bobby Willis will go to the line, shooting two.
And Stan, Bobby Willis has been just superb this first half, creating many offensive opportunities by some nice drives inside. He's been enabling some of the Quaker defense, some of the Quaker offensive players to get open by driving inside and taking up some of the defensive players, and then he dishes off for a fine pass or he goes up for a shot himself.
Willis shooting two shots. We're tied at 30 with 3:57 left in the first half. Shot by Willis is no good. Quakers have been hurt at the foul line. They are not shooting well from the foul line. He's a 77% shooter on the year from the charity stripe, but he missed his first. One more coming for Bobby. His foul shooting high was the 13 out of 14 he hit against Cornell, and he makes the second one. Quakers lead by one, 31-30, 5 points on the night for Willis. Inbounds, comes to Gaminski, leaves it for Harrell, who working up the floor to Spinarkle, drives on White, puts it up over White, it's good, and it counts, and there's a foul on the play.
Tough play for the Quakers as they allowed Spinarkle to get inside on the defense, and once he was in there, he was able to pretty much do what he wanted to and went up with the easy shot, made it, and was fouled. Now he'll shoot from the line. Spinarkle is an 86% foul free throw shooter, so he's going to be a tough one from the line.
That's White with the foul, his second of the game. Quakers over the limit, it doesn't matter. It is a shooting foul anyway. And Spinarkle will go to the line shooting two shots as Timmy Smith replaces Kevin McDonald in the Quaker lineup. As Spinarkle will bounce it a few times and look to put it up. First shot is on the way, it's good. Blue Devils lead by two, 33-31. It wasn't two shots, it was a three-point play. 9 points on the night for Spinarkle. And the Blue Devils lead by two, 33-31. 3:44 left first half. White is hit in the backcourt, but he gets it off to Willis. Willis drives the lane. He'll put it up, batted away by Gaminski. Willis gets it back from Gaminski. Turns on Gaminski, feeds off to Smith, bounces once, puts it up. It's not going to count. They're going to call it for traveling. And the Blue Devils will get the ball back.
And there's a tough call because Bobby Willis skied in the air and out-rebounded Mike Gaminski for that ball and then threw it over to Timmy Smith, and Timmy got called for the traveling call, but fine individual effort by Bobby Willis.
Spinarkle inbounds to Bender. Bender circles to his right, watched by Smith. Quakers in a man-to-man. Pass comes in to Gaminski underneath. Leaves it for Spinarkle, throws outside to Banks at the foul line. Back to Spinarkle down low. He goes up with it. It's no good, but there's a foul underneath, and the foul is going to be called on Matt White, and that will be Matt's third. So Kevin McDonald reports back in for the Quakers very quickly, replacing Matt White, who sits down with three personals. And again, it will be Jim Spinarkle at the foul line.
And the Quakers are not going to want to get a little ragged here and lose some of the edge that they've had throughout this first half. Right now, they're trailing by 2 points, but they don't want to go into the locker room trailing any more than that.
Spinarkle hits the first of two. Blue Devils lead by three, 34-31, 3:21 left in the first half, and for Spinarkle, the game's leading scorer with 10 points. Second foul shot is also good. He's got 11 points, and the lead is four, 35-31. Green will inbound to Willis. He's watched by Harrell and Bender. Now it comes to Green. Green passes ahead to Willis. Willis looks to pass it out of the backcourt and does to Price. Price gets it to McDonald. Right side pops over to Gaminski. It's good. Kevin McDonald, 6 points on the night. Quakers trail by two, 35-33, 3:05 left first half. Bender out of the backcourt finds Harrell on the right side, watched by Green. He looks to drive on Green, stops at the foul line, hit away by Willis and steals. And the Quakers have it in the backcourt. Willis will race it up the floor. Long pass ahead to Smith. He drives the lane, passes off to Green, who loses it underneath to Johnny Harrell. And Harrell will break it back up the floor. Quakers blow a good opportunity there. Now pass intercepted by Price. Over to Green. Green looks for Smith. Finds Smith all alone underneath. He's blocked by Banks. But they're going to score the bucket. Call it goaltending against Gene Banks as we had a collision of West Philly stars underneath the basket. Now they just say, no, it's not going to be goaltending. It's going to be a two-shot foul as Banks fouls Smith in the act.
Well, Stan, I can see that very conceivably could have been goaltending as Gene Banks batted the ball up against the backboard, held it there, as it seemed that the ball had reached the pinnacle of its arc, but they're going to call it that it was a foul, and Timmy Smith will be shooting, I suppose, two from the line.
Timmy Smith has not been shooting his foul shots well as of late. First one is up and good. Big bucket for Timmy Smith. Quakers trail by one, 35-34. It looked to me like he pinned it in the cylinder over the basket, which would have been goaltending, but that was not the call. Smith getting the two shots from the charity stripe. Second one is no good. Rebounded by Banks. Loses to Price. Price spins over Banks. No good. Hit the back of the rim. It comes out to Green. Green pulls it outside, and the Quakers will set it up, trailing by one, 35-34, 2.5 minutes to go, first half. Willis gets it over to Green. Green left sideline to Smith, finds Price in the lane, drives the hoop, puts up a good! Tony Price!
Fine drive by Tony Price, taking the pass from Willis, going right in underneath and scoring. 8 points on the evening for Price. Quakers lead it by one, 36-35. As Bender drives by McDonald, layup is not going to go, but we've got a foul called on Kevin McDonald, and that's his third. And the Quakers are in trouble in the foul department as they're going to go to three guards now. As Tommy Crowley will replace Kevin McDonald in the Quaker lineup. They've got both White and McDonald on the bench with three.
And Stan, some of the Quaker forwards have been plagued with some problems covering the baseline as the Blue Devils seem to be taking advantage of those baseline drives, and Kevin McDonald that time, as some of the other forwards have been doing, is not getting position on that baseline and allowing those drives to get in there, and they're either going to get a foul or a good shot.
Bender puts up the first of the 1-1. It's no good. Rebound taken by Crowley, and he's fouled by Spinarco. Spinarco commits an awful foul. That was a stupid foul, as Crowley will now go to the other end of the floor and shoot a 1-1. So while Duke had a chance to tie and go ahead, the Quakers now will have the opportunity to increase their lead as Crowley will be shooting a 1-1. With the Quakers 1 point up, it's 36-35. We've got 2:06 left in the first half. You're listening to NCAA basketball on WXPN in Philadelphia. This is Stan Lane along with John Bart, Tony Ottieri, and Bruce Rudin.
And Stan, Tommy Crowley is a 74% free throw shooter, so hopefully he can pick up a couple of points for the Quakers right here.
Crowley hits the first. Quakers lead by two, 37-35. We've got this final. DePaul 90, Louisville 89. That's in double overtime. So DePaul will advance as Crowley connects the second free throw. Quakers lead by three, 38-35. 8 points on the night for Tommy Crowley. Spinarco now drives on Willis. Thinks better of shooting it, gets it over to Banks in the lane. Banks misses the turnaround. Rebound was put in by Scott Ghost, who is reported into the game for the Blue Devils, and they pulled it within one.
And Stan, with DePaul beating Louisville, DePaul will play the winner of the Notre Dame-Utah game being played later on this evening for the regional final.
Quakers are going to go four quarters and hold for one. They've got a one-point lead at 38-37, a minute and 38 to go, and that's why they've got the three guards in. It comes to Price on the baseline. He's stuffed by Ghost. Loses it to Smith. Smith, spin around layup is good. Jimmy Smith with a big basket. He's got 5 points on the night. Quakers lead by three, 40-37, a minute 22 remaining first half. Here comes to Spinarco, right side. Quakers in the zone. It comes outside to Coach. Down low to Harrell. Drives the baseline. Looks to go all the way underneath the basket. Now he'll give it off to Banks. Looks to turn on Smith and does. His shot is short. Rebounded by Gene Banks. He puts it up again. It drops, and he was fouled on the play, and the Quakers give up another three-point play.
Another tough one for the Quakers as they allowed Gene Banks to get inside and pick up the bucket and the foul. You know, if they're going to foul them, he might as well make sure. I think that was Tony Price there picking up the foul. And if he's going to foul, he might as well make sure that the offensive player does not pick up the bucket. But that time, Banks able to pick up the bucket. Now he'll go to the line to try to add the extra one.
All right, Banks at the line. He outdueled his former West Philadelphia teammate, Timmy Smith, on that sequence. Banks will put up the free throw, looking for the three-point play. Shot is good. 3 points away for Gene Banks, and we're tied at 40. 9 points on the night for Banks. A minute and five left first half as Crowley will work it slowly out of the backcourt. Quick, look for the Quakers to hold for one here, Tony. It comes across to Willis. Willis holds it left side. Now he finds Crowley in the center of the court, right side to Green. Gives into Price at the top of the key. Holds it high over the head. Works it back outside to Green. Over to Crowley. Back to Green. Green works it into Willis at the foul line. Willis holds away from Bender and throws outside to Crowley. Takes a quick glance up at the clock. Now he'll circle to his right. Watched by Johnny Howell. Throws it across court to Green. Green inside Price. Price has Willis all alone right side. Instead throws out left sideline to Green. Back outside to Crowley with 30 seconds left in the half. Smith loses the ball. Now he gets it back at the foul line. Throws outside to Willis. Willis holds it away from Bender. We've got 21 seconds to go. First half as Willis works across court to Green. Holds it away from Spinarco. Green will circle to his right. 14 seconds to go. Finds Crowley. Crowley will bring it back outside. He's got Willis on his right. Finds Willis right side. Willis will drive in on Bender. Stops at the foul line. Throws down low for Smith. Layup is so good. Rebounded by Kaminsky. And we've got a foul on the play. And they're going to call a foul on Stan Green on the rebound with 1 second left. The Blue Devils will go to the line shooting a 1-1. And all of the Quakers' tough work in the first half is on the verge of going out the window because the Blue Devils on a bad foul on the rebound look to have a 1-1 to take the lead at halftime. It'll be Mike Kaminsky at the line.
Stan,
and that foul's on Tony Price, and not a very good foul for the Quakers to take with only 1 second left in the game. Tony Price being one of the important players on the Quakers squad, they don't want to lose him to foul trouble, and the Quakers shouldn't give up these charity points to the Duke squad.
Kaminsky hits the first. He's got one more coming. The Blue Devils lead it by one, 41-40.
And, Dan, I've just got to say that contrary to what many people have believed, the Blue Devils have been no mystery to the Quakers as of yet.
Second one by Kaminsky is good. We've got 1 second left. Inbound, stolen by Bender, puts it up and hit, and he was fouled on the play, and they're going to count it.
Yeah, no foul on the play, but they did count the second time. Bender, 44. Bender, 45-40. All right, we are back at the center center in Providence, Rhode Island. At the end of the first half, Pennsylvania 40, Duke 44, Quakers have the ball. This side 40-40, with about 3 seconds to go in the game. They miss a shot, fouled on the rebound. The Blue Devils got a 1-1 at the other end, and connected on both ends with a 1-1. And then we had a steal in the inbound for a long pass by Denver. There's only a block and stop. The ball was tipped by Pennsylvania. Denver came up with a loose ball and got it up top to get the shot off. And this is good. Quakers got there into the dressing room half by themselves on the floor. The ball was not lost. I've got to say, the Quakers certainly held their own in the first half against the Blue Devils. And Kevin McDonald comes out and has a Kevin McDonald type second half. The Quakers can make up the ball game. Well, that's definitely true, Sam. The Quakers, first of all, have a very tough break. You know, when you come up court looking for one shot with a minute left and the score is tied, you figure the worst you'll do is go into the locker room tied and possibly go in 2 points left. But what happened was, on the last 1 second play in the half, the Blue Devils got down. They were able to score 4 points in the last second. Now the Quakers get an easy. And Miles Jefferson got the lock on 4 points down. Definitely got out of it by own stretch of the combination. I don't know where they would like to be, but they had enough to go up and shoot things up. Once again, the Quakers were playing without the superstar ability of Kevin McDonald. He was playing most of the first half, but did not get to play some of the playing ability that he was playing from the previous game, especially in the past playoff game against the Bonaventure. So, he's had a few tough breaks, so hopefully we can rebound and come back on the other side of the game and pick up Kevin McDonald's gift for us. The Quakers will down to the advantage of the final. Well, we've got Bruce Rudy waiting in the wings, hoping his season won't end as the Quakers will pull this game out. But so far, teams that have been down at half, in these NCAA games, have done very well. The Quakers will be down by 5 at halftime.
I think there is one large disparity in that game and this game, and that is that although we were only down by 5 points at halftime, I thought we were outplayed in almost every phase of the game against St. Bonaventure, and we came back to almost demolished them in the second half. If we excelled in all phases of the game, in running and rebounding and scoring, and we just put them away. This game, I think that both teams have played pretty much even, and even though the Duke holds a 4-point advantage, I don't think in the Quaker Cup I've had any trouble Duke has so far been no mystery to the Quakers, and although they are 7th ranked in the nation, a lot of people had expected to take the Quakers down very easily. The Quakers are hanging tough and are playing very well. Earlier today, in the first game, it was 21-51. Indiana 16, Florida was thrown by 7, John Bird has all of the unofficial scoring for the first half, so John, you want to run down those scoring totals?
Okay, we'll compare our lane to the official and see how far it goes. For the Quakers, as a team, they shot 16 for 30, which is about 50%, 8 for 12 from the line, and their total was 41. That's how it's actually going to be official.
In any event, beginning sexually, pass and quarter play-by-play second half here. Sending for a lieutenant will be Matt White against Duke. Mike Kaminsky. Kaminsky won the cap at the start of the game, and Matt White caps it, but the G Bank, who throws this one off on the right side. Arthur holds on to those top of the key to Harris. Guarded by Green, all the left side to Bender. Bender guarded by McDonald, left side of Banks, guarded by Price. Down over the key. Against White, drives left face center to the cut of good. Matt White trying to stay away from the first down, and had to get Mike to middle of that easy layup, 40-40. Pass goes right quarter to Stanley, back out Willis, down to McDonald, who's pulled away, is short, rebounded by Bender. Bender almost lost, no calling, half to Harris. Down low Sinarco. Sinarco loses the ball and makes his own basket, and it'll be Quaker ball.
Okay, the Quakers start out. Kevin McDonald has a shot that he normally would hit, but he's just not really on target today. And he missed it. Luckily for the Quakers, the Blue Devils turned it over.
Bobby Willis crosses in the front line, and Duke is going to play a 2-on-2 and zone defense. Willis holds on close to the middle of the circle of green. Left side strike. 18-footer is in and out, rebounded by Sinarco, and he comes out. Close is in the front line with a pass to Banks on the right side, and Banks is going to hold up. The top of the circle, and Harrell. Left corner left. Bender, down low Dominski, back out Harrell. Drive for a point of throw to Dominski. Hook shot is no good, but we're going to have a foul against Matt White, I believe, John, and that's going to be number 4.
I didn't really see any contact on that play, especially the type that Mike Dominski was making motions of as though the ball was knocked out of his hand. But we saw it on Kevin McDonald. It's his fourth, and that could even be worse. Tom Crowley's going to replace him, so the Quakers now going to 3 guards.
John, either player, Matt White or Kevin McDonald, is so important to the Quaker chances. And now McDonald, instead of White, picks up his fourth, and White, of course, has 3. So both are in danger as McDonald sits on the bench. Duke ball, Bender, left corner to Banks. Banks holding on, back out to Bender at the top of the key. To the left side to Harrell. 18-footer from there is good. John Harrell gives Duke an 8-point lead, 48-40, 18 minutes, 45 seconds left, second half. Right corner pass comes to Tom Crowley, back out to Bobby Willis at the top of the circle. Willis dribbling against the Duke man, throws to the right corner of the green, and the ball is intercepted by Gene Banks. He holds on and asks to John Harrell, and this is a big save for the Duke Blue Devils. Bob Bender Pass now to Gaminski, and we got a foul on Gaminski. Foul committed by...
They're probably going to call that on Matt White, and every call so far in this half has gone against the Quakers. Doesn't look too good, Bruce.
No, it doesn't, John. And Quakers have must stop the Blue Devil momentum before the Blue Devils can get a very big lead. Right now they have an 8-point lead. Inbound comes to Harrell to the top of the key to Bender. Down low to Spinarco, drives against Willis, loses the ball out of bounds, and it'll be Quaker ball.
Okay, well, that one might have gone the other way. I mean, there was some contact underneath the basket, and they just said it went off of Spinarco's foot. I have a feeling that was a little bit makeup, because I don't think that was a good call on Matt White at all.
Bobby Willis crosses half court, dribbles to the left side, to the top of the key to Crowley, right side, Stan Green, looking down low, nothing there. Foul line to Willis. He'll jump from there and hit. Bobby Willis, 48-42, Quakers down by six.
He's going to have to become the Quakers' main offense, Bruce, with McDonald out. As they come over the line, another reaching in foul is called on the Quakers, and by doing that against the Quakers, by calling those fouls, you totally take away their defensive game.
That is the second personal foul on Stan Green and the third team foul against the Quakers early into the second half, John, and they're already in foul trouble.
And Matt White leaves the game now. He's replaced by Timmy Smith, so the Quakers going with the center of Tony Price.
With the ball for Duke is Bob Bender at the top of the circle, guarded by Crowley. Left side to Spinarco. Spinarco down low to Gaminski, guarded by Price. Turnaround, hook shot is up. No good. Rebounded by Crowley. Good box set on Gene Banks, and he outlets to Stan Green, who crosses the midcourt line. Dribbling at the top of the circle. Left side to Tom Crowley, to the foul line to Price, over to Timmy Smith, making on Banks, will put him an 18-footer, it's good! Timmy Smith, 18-footer from the left side, Quakers down by 4, 48-44.
It's going to have to be the Quakers' second round players who are going to do it today, because the Quaker frontliners, McDonald and White, are just not in there.
Harrell, top of the circle, over to Spinarco, left side, to Kaminsky, the foul line, over to Gene Banks, 18-foot from the left side, is off the back rim, rebounded by... Bobby Willis underneath. Willis has just been fantastic for the Quakers. He quickly crosses the midcourt line, dribbles to the foul line, looking down low, throws to Green, but it's intercepted, and now we're going to have a foul, and it's going to be on, I didn't catch it, John.
They're going to call it on Stan Green, I believe, and again, I don't really see how they can make that call. Stan's seen that position on the man, and he at least has equal right to go for the ball, but they called him for reaching in, and if you can hear the sound in the Civic Center, it's not only the Quaker fans who disagree with that call.
No, it's not, John. As it looks like the foul is going to be against Green rather than by Green. Bob Bender crosses the midcourt line, stops at the top of the circle. The Gene Banks foul line turnaround is up short. Rebounded by Timmy Smith. He skies and outlets to Willis. Willis crosses the midcourt line, dribbling to the top of the key. Now to the foul line. Fake from the foul line. If it was a bounce pass to Smith on the left side, ball almost taken away by Duke, recovered by Green, and we're going to have a foul on Bob Bender, number 21 of Duke.
And Tony Price raises his hands over his head and starts clapping as... The Penn fans also give somewhat of a Bronx roar as they feel it's about time that a foul call finally went against the Blue Devils there. And for the Blue Devils, that foul is on Bender, his first, the team first.
Tom Crowley inbounds to Timmy Smith in the left corner. Smith holds on and throws out to Willis, almost over the backcourt line, but Willis recovers. Tom Crowley back to Willis at the top of the key. Willis to Stan Green, right side. Green looking low, nothing there. Close course to Crowley. Jump pass to Tony Price, top of the key. Holds on, now comes over the foul line jumper. That is no good. Rebounded by Timmy Smith underneath. His layup is blocked by Josh, who's into the game. They're going to have a foul.
They're going to call that a jump ball, Bruce. And again, I just can't believe it. As Ghosh hit Timmy Smith from behind, almost knocked him over, and then finally grabbed a piece of the ball, and they call it a jump ball. Ghosh with a good 3 inches on Timmy. It's going to be tough.
As quickly as Ghosh goes out, Ghosh came into the game, he comes out. Pass goes down, well, Willis' layup is good. Bobby Willis gives the Quakers a 2-point deficit, 48-46. Willis on the night has 9 points on the night. Bob Bender, top of the circle, throws to Spinarco left side. To Kaminsky at the foul line, down low to Banks, and the ball is stolen away by Timmy Smith. He holds on and hands to Willis. Quakers come down court with a chance to tie. Willis, pass down low to Price. Price fakes on Banks, puts on the jumper, it's good! Tony Price ties the game in 48 with 16 minutes left here in the second half.
And this team has a lot of spirit, that Quaker team that's in there right now. They know they can't go any deeper than what they've got.
Bob Bender stops at the top of the circle over to Spinarco. Spinarco dribbling against Willis to Harrell. Right corner to Bender. Down low Gaminski against Price. Turnaround is up. No good. Rebounded by Willis. And Willis holds on. Now he races across the midcourt line. Dribbling to the foul line to Tony Price. He fakes on Harrell. Puts up the jumper. No good. But we're going to have a foul on
on John Harrell, and Tony Price goes to the line for two.
Almost. The Quakers are really fired up right now, and I think it's all started when a couple of really poor foul calls went against the Quakers. The players were really riled. The fans were really riled. And the team that's in there right now, although maybe not as good as the shooters from the outside, are working the ball inside beautifully. Kaminsky's nowhere to be found underneath.
John, you've watched the team so often, and there's the difference from this year and last year. If the Quakers had an 8-10 point deficit last year, they might have quit, especially with their two of their best players in foul trouble. But now they're not quitting. As Tony Price misses short on the first foul shot, they'll have another, trying to put the Quakers up by one. Right now the score is tied at 48.
And the Quakers, as I said, just getting it underneath. And Timmy Smith, along with Tony Price, really throw that ball around well. Tony hits the second. The Quakers take their first lead of the half, 49-48.
Inbound pass is stolen away by Tom Crowley. Crowley dribbling at the top of the circle, and he'll start things for the Quakers. They lead by one and have a chance to take a three-point lead. Tom Crowley working against Bob Bender. Right side to Green over the right corner to Tony Price. Back out to Bobby Willis at the top of the circle, guarded by Bender. To the foul line to Price, drives against Smithy. Hooker is up, no good. Rebounded by Smith, no good. Now rebounded by Sudovicon. Rebound, Smith, good! Turn around! Hook shot by Timmy Smith. Quakers lead by three!
And that's 11 straight points for the Quakers. Timmy Smith stole away a rebound. I believe Harrell had it underneath, and he just looks great out there.
Quaker fans go nuts. Kaminsky loses the ball down low. Ahead of Field with Green. He puts up the shot. It's up and good. Zach Green gives the Quakers a 5-point lead. 53-48.
And that's 13 straight points for the Quakers. The Blue Devils call time, and the Quaker section is absolutely going nuts. The greatest run this year by the Quakers, the possible exception being in the Southern Cal game when they ran off about 15 straight points. Well, nobody can forget, of course, the Columbia game, 29 straight. But they just look the best I've seen this set of players all year.
John, that was a Columbia game, that was the regular season, but this is the NCAA Eastern Regional Semifinal, and the Quakers have run off a 13-0 spurt against the number 17 in the nation, the Duke Blue Devils, the ACC champs, and the Quakers look very impressive, and they don't have Kevin McDonald in the game, and they don't have Matt White.
They're fast-breaking it, and Stan, your observations right now.
Well, John, I was going to treat you to the story, but what I'll do now is kind of message that we've got to give out of the way. The NCAA Basketball Championship is the most prestigious championship event sponsored by the NCAA. In its 40th year, it really is quite new considering this is the NCAA's 96th championship season. Today, the NCAA conducts 40 national championships in 18 sports on three competitive levels, Division I, Division II, Division III. John, here's the Quakers scoring in the second half.
All right, for the Quakers in the second half, Tony Price has three, Bobby Willis has four, Stan Green has two, Timmy Smith has four. For the Blue Devils, all they have are two buckets, Harrell and Kaminsky. And I think what the Quakers are doing right now is exploiting what we discussed before the game as a major weakness of the Blue Devils, their ball handling. A whole bunch of steals in a row. The Quakers fast-breaking are one of the toughest teams in the country.
The Quakers definitely have to play a fast-paced offense, and that's what they've done here in the last 3 minutes, and that's why they have a 5-point lead. That timeout, as you said, John, was charged to Duke. They have three timeouts remaining. The Quakers have all five there. Could be an important factor later on in the game. Denard back into the game in the right corner. Down low Banks to Kaminsky. 10-footer is up. No good. Rebounded by Spinarco. Spinarco. Inside, jump shot is no good, but we got a traveling call on Spinarco. No good. The basket will not count.
Tony Price intimidated him. He turned around for his move. All of a sudden, lurking is Tony Price. Spinarco at 6'5", just couldn't jump over him and was forced to travel.
Bobby Willis will slow things down for the Quakers in the front court. Pass comes to Green. Foul line to Price. Back out to Willis. He'll start up for the Quakers. They're in no hurry. They have a 5-point lead with 14 minutes and 20 seconds. Pass by Crowley is intercepted by Spinarco. Bounce pass across the midcourt line to Howell. Top of the circle. Left side to Banks. 10-footer from there is no good. Bounce off the front rim and then in for Gene Banks. Good roll. 10 leads, 53-50.
Quakers have to watch out with their passes. They got to keep playing the game that they go with, but they don't want to try to force it inside.
Willis and Crowley play catch up top. Pass goes to Timmy Smith, right corner working against Banks. Bounce pass, Tony Price in the foul line. Cross court to Tommy Crowley. To Sam Green, foul line jumper is up, in and out. Rebounded by Kaminsky, he holds on. Duke now comes down to the court with a chance to cut the lead to one. They trail by three. Spinarco fakes on. Willis now comes up with a 15-footer. That is good. Jim Spinarco with a pretty bank shot. And Duke trails by one, 53-52. Monty Willis crosses the midcourt line, dribbling on the right side, holds on and throws to Tom Crowley. Left side to Timmy Smith. He's way outside, throws back to the top of the circle to Willis. Willis trying to work against Harrell, but he can't get by him. Tony Price holds on left side, throws to the left corner to Crowley. Jumper from there is up. Good! Tom Crowley with a long bomb from the left corner. Quakers up by three.
I think his percentage is at 10 points for Tom Crowley. His percentage on that shot, Bruce, is somewhere around 95%, I think.
And that's amazing because he's shooting from 20 to 25 feet in the left corner. He's just an absolutely fine outside shooter. Harrell, top of the circle, right side to Spinarco. Holds on at the foul line, throws to Banks. Guarded by Smith. 20 against 20. Top of the key to Harrell, over to Spinarco. He's working at the top of the key. Throws right side to Harrell. Spinning around Crowley, comes up with a not a 12-footer pass. Kaminsky over to the foul line to Harrell. Jumper in and out. Rebounded by Price. He holds on. We're going to have an over-the-back foul on Tony Price.
Another horrible call down there. And, you know, you try to control yourself, but, I mean, time and time again, let's just ignore that one. That's going to be the third foul on Tony in the fifth team. Tony had total position on that. There was nobody near him. He got popped, and they called a foul on Price. That's about all I can say.
John, as all Quaker fans know, they do not have a lot of luck with the referees at the Providence Civic Center. And at least this year they don't, especially in the Providence game and even here tonight. Spinarco, 20-footer is up. Short, rebound is tapped off the hands of Denard, I believe. And they call it off one of the Quakers, John.
Again, I don't know how they could have... Well, yeah, they are giving the ball to the Quakers. I didn't see any way they could give that one to Duke.
Well, at first, the referee obviously must have made a mistake. It's obviously off the hands of Kenny Denard. The Quaker ball. Bobby Willis crosses the midcourt line, dribbling at the top of the circle. Holds on there and throws right side to Green. Green, bounce pass right corner to Crowley, down low, the pass is almost taken away. Now Timmy Smith has the ball underneath. He drives on Kaminsky's got to get out of there. We're going to have a call against the Duke Blue Devils. John, who is it on?
That call, I believe, is going to be on Harrell, and that's going to be his fourth personal foul. And Timmy Smith had trouble. You know, Timmy Smith at about 6'5", although he has great moves underneath the basket, was running up against Banks and Kaminsky. Luckily, he got the foul call.
That's two players for the Blue Devils who have four personal fouls, Denard and Harrell, but they're not the most important players for the Blue Devils. Crowley gets the inbound in the right corner, throws out to Penny Smith, returns to Crowley, way outside, near the midcourt line, and he's going to start the rotation offense for the Quakers. Pass goes right corner to Timmy Smith. Smith holds on, throws back out to Willis. Willis dribbling to the top of the circle, out on the left side, bounce pass to Crowley, down to the left baseline to Smith, he holds on and then throws back out to Willis. Willis to the foul line, Tony Price, turnaround, jump is up, no good, rebounded by Spinarco, behind the back of it, stolen by Tony Price, he dribbles to the foul line, double pump pass to Crowley, return pass to Price, is stolen away by Denard, a little too many passes there for the Quakers, and Duke quickly crosses the midcourt line, Harrell to Spinarco, right side, dribbles to the right corner, looking down low for Kaminsky, nothing there, back out to Harrell, to Gene Banks, right side, guarded by Timmy Smith. Banks looking for Kaminsky down low. Drives now, lays it off to Kaminsky. Kaminsky working against Price. Turnaround. Won't count as he is called for traveling.
And Mike Kaminsky made a move to the left before he decided to get the move to the right. And that stutter step of his is what got him the traveling violation. James Booty Salters now will come in replacing Tommy Crowley. Tommy, having a fine game shooting, has looked a little bit sloppy in the last couple of minutes with his passes.
And for Duke, Bob Bender has replaced John Harrell. Willis and Salters, the backcourt duo for the Quakers. Willis has the ball top of the circle, coming to the left corner, guarded by Spinarco, dumps it off to Salters in the left corner. Salters dribbles back down for the Quakers. He's dribbling against Spinarco, and the pass is intercepted now by Gene Banks. Outlet to Bender. Bender recovers it in the left corner of his front court. Bender has the ball in the left corner to Denard at the foul, and he stops, but returns to Bender. Left corner jumper is up. Good. Bob Bender, an excellent outside shooter, and the Duke trails by 1 point. Quakers get the trouble with the inbound pass, but it's recovered by Timmy Smith at the top of the circle. He holds on and hands to Salters, as all the Duke fans wanted a call against the Quakers. Salters, bounce pass to Willis, dribbles to the right corner, now lays it off for Tony Price. His short jumper is good. Tony Price gives the Quakers a 3-point lead, 57-54.
Bobby Willis made that play, drawing everybody on him and then dishing it off to Tony.
Kenny Denard, down low to Banks, turnaround jumper is up short, rebounded by Price, and he holds on underneath his own basket. Almost throws it behind the back pass, but instead outlet to James Salters, and he will cross the midcourt line. 10 minutes and 30 seconds left, second half. Quakers up by three. Bob Willis holds things for the Quakers. Pass comes to Timmy Smith. 15-footer left side is good. Timmy Smith is on fire, John.
And Timmy Smith is making Gene Banks look really bad. 11 points for Timmy. Is that for Timmy? And 11 points for Banks. Timmy hasn't played nearly as long. And let's face it, Gene Banks' shooting has been atrocious tonight.
He has taken a lot of bad shots, but I guess you can expect that from a freshman. Remember, Banks has many years to go, and he's only going to get better for Duke. As Denari comes up with a brilliant bank shot, and he also drew the foul, so Duke has a big chance to close the lead to 2.
And I believe Timmy Smith made a commitment there to try to steal the ball. And as the pass got away, well, let's see, the foul's going to be on James Salters. That should be his first personal, and the 16th foul. And now Matt White and Kevin McDonald are going to be coming back in the game. Second foul, that is, on Jimmy Salters. And Tony Price is going to take a rest, and Timmy Smith, both of them playing excellent basketball.
John, we know how Coach Bob Weinauer uses his substitutions valuably, but Bill Foster, the coach for Duke, obviously went to the Dean Smith School of basketball coaching, and he uses wholesale substitutions. He brings in a whole new team, except for Denard the shooter, into the game for Duke. Steve Gray, number 23, Bob Bender, 21, he was in the game before, and Harold Morrison and Scott Joach. As the foul shot is missed by Denard, rebounded by Matt White, who's entered the game, loses the ball, but recovered by Bobby Willis. Willis dribbling against the Duke zone press. And to Salters, return to Willis, still in the backcourt, bounce pass across the midcourt line to Green. Green, left corner to McDonald, looking down low for White, nothing there, back out Green. Stops the circle to Willis, dribbles to the foul line, bounce pass to Green, over to McDonald, left corner. McDonald takes one step, comes up with a jumper, good! Kevin McDonald comes into the game and hits the basket, 61-56.
That's the patented Kevin McDonald shot, a step to the right and a jump, and no, almost nobody can block that shot, 8 points for Kevin.
The Quakers are definitely giving the Blue Devils a game as James Salters fouls Bob Bender trying to drive the right baseline.
Unfortunately, that was a foul on Jimmy, and he tried to stick with him, sticking his body in front of the man. Unfortunately, since he was moving, he got the blocking foul call, and now that puts the the Blue Devils in a bonus situation. So Bender will go to shoot 1-1.
It's so tough to guard a man like Bob Bender because he's so effective from the outside, and he has a big first step, so if you give him the outsider, he'll take it, and if you go up too close, he can drive around you. As he puts up the first, it's missed. Rebounded by McDonald, strong, he holds on, and outlets to Bobby Willis. Willis dribbling against Morrison, close to the midcourt line, now he's dribbling against Gray, back out to Green. Green way up top, hands to Willis, almost intercepted by Gray. Willis way outside on the left side, throws to McDonald. McDonald on the left side. He fakes the shot, now throws back out to Salters, and Salters will hold on to the Quakers. Quakers have a 5-point lead, 61-56. Bonnie Willis getting around two Blue Devils, now drives the lane, puts up a scooper, and it's up, and good, and a foul! A great play by Bobby Willis! Another fantastic play by the Wizards in the block!
Unbelievable! A double pump fake layup. He was in the air all the time, made two fakes on Goju was underneath, got Goju into the air over the much smaller Bobby Willis, and was able to put it in while going down to the floor. Incredible body control by Bobby Willis. Sort of reminds you of the doctor there, Bruce.
John, explain to me one thing. Why hasn't Bobby Willis done this all year? We knew all along that he could do it. Why hasn't he done it?
Okay, well, he did for the first couple of games, if you recall, in the Navy game in particular. And in the game against Virginia, I believe he was at least instrumental in the comeback attempt. Bobby hits the extra foul shot for the 3-point play. Biggest Quaker lead, 64-56. And we have a timeout call. The Quakers, the side of this fan, are just going wild as the Quakers lead it by 8, 64-56 with 9:12 remaining. Then Bobby first got hit with a pulled muscle. He pulled a thigh muscle. Then he came down with the flu. He had a lot of health problems in the middle of the year, and he just didn't have that extra step. Now, that accelerating step of his is what makes him so tough.
That's definitely true, John. I guess that's the basic reason for Willis's ineffectiveness, you might say, during the season. But Bobby Willis is a fine ball player. Even in the games that he was healthy, he just seems to be a little hesitant to take control, but he is certainly taking control here tonight. In the first half, he was the sole reason for the Quakers being in the ball game, and here in the second half, he's one of the main reasons for the Quakers having an 8-point lead, and the Quakers are just playing a superb ball game, perhaps their best game in 5 years in the NCAAs, obviously, John.
definitely the Quakers look about as tough as the Quakers can look, and they've just been getting better game by game. You know, it's been my philosophy all the time that the Quakers really didn't play that bad, at least in the second half of that Columbia game, which they lost at Columbia. It's just incredible shooting by the Lions that did it. Then they continued that to Cornell, where they just annihilated the Big Red, went in and really beat up on the Bonnies in the second half. And the second half, Pennsylvania Quakers, it looks like they're doing it again, as in the first 10 minutes and 48 seconds, they've outscored the Blue Devils by 12 points.
In over 10 minutes of play here in the second half, Duke has scored only 12 points. That's really amazing. Duke has the ball. Denard looking for the outlet. Now he goes to Kaminsky, almost intercepted. Kaminsky holds on, goes to Howard. Outlet across from the front line to Bank. Denard goes right side, stops at the foul line, goes to Denard. Down low, Kaminsky comes up with a first playoff. It's up, no good. Rebounded by Denard. I think Denard credit for that pass. Duke trails by 64-58. Green, down on the white, he loses the ball, and it's a fantastic by Green, as the ball was at the hands of Michael Hensley, and puts the ball, a good play, a good play.
A good play, I'm not sure if it's a good call. I thought Kevin touched the
ball.
Yeah, I think Kevin McDonald did call that one, as Tony Artari's missing on my side. He pointed vigorously to 10 to it.
Mario was inbound, cement right over the right corner of the front rally, he'll bring it out to the Quakers. He's playing man-to-man. Stan Green near the center circle. Close to Tom Kelly. He's standing in the middle of the center circle. And the Quakers are going to slow it up. 8 minutes and 35 seconds left. Second half. Quakers lead by 6. Tom Kelly at the top of the circle. Too many against Canarco. Right side to Bobby Willis. He's way outside. He's too many against John Harrell at the top of the circle. Willis facing on Harrell. Now driving the key against Kaminsky. He won't put up the shot. Harrell's up close to Matt Wright. He'll lay up the goal. A great play by Bobby Willis. Once again,
Bobby threw everybody on him. That's 6 points for Matt Wright. And we're going to have to look for that assist total after.
Harrell on the right side over to Canarco on the foul line, comes up with a jumper that is up and good. Jim Canarco is very tough, Johnny. You've got to watch him here. He's just too clean and straight on the shoot.
You really couldn't defend him any better than Jimmy Green did on that play, however, Bruce. If he was all over him and just hit the shot.
Tom Kelly in the front court to Bobby Willis left side. He's marking against John Harrell. Willis to the top of the circle. He's going to put a few moves on Harrell. Now throw to Kelly. Right side. Got it by Canarco. Dribbling to the top of the circle. Left hand pass to Sam Green. Guarded by Dean Banks. Quakers working a 3-wide offense. Green with the ball, top of the circle.
Tries the back door, nothing there. Throws Crowley near the midfield line, guarded by Snarkle. Gets around Snarkle, dumps it off to McDonald. Moves to the left, throws back out to Stan Green. Wise move by Kevin McDonald, not putting up that shot. Tom Crowley with the ball, driving the key and then bringing it back out to the top of the circle. Crowley drives around Snarkle, puts up the shot. Blocked by Kaminsky, and it's headed by Kaminsky. Outlet to Snarkle, racing across the midfield line. Right side to Denard, his shot is up and good. Almost a walk against Kenny Denard, but he put up the layup and Duke trails by 4, 66-62. Bobby Willis will slow things up to the Quakers as he crosses the timeline. Guarded by Harrell, now switched back to Skinnarko. Willis drives the key, puts it up against Kaminsky, and steps no good. Rebounded by Gene Banks, and he holds on. No foul called there against Duke, as there might have been. Harrell crossed the midfield line with a pass to Denard in the right corner. Bringing it back out to Duke. Top of the key to Banks. Rides to the foul line, puts up a 12-footer, it's up, and in and good. Off the rim and good for Gene Banks. Great goal for him. Score is now 66-64. Quakers by 2, 6 minutes, 35 seconds left, second half.
All of a sudden, Duke is hitting the rim as they take a 3 shots. Only one of them was really a good shot, but they hit all 3 of them, and the Quakers have to watch out. They have to stop challenging Kaminsky.
Stan Green, close court to Tom Crowley, at the top of the, at the head of the circle, guarded by Skinnarko. Crowley dribbling with the left, over to the left side to Green. He's way outside, guarded by Banks. Then as the Quakers start to slow things up, they have trouble. Bobby Willis, left baseline shot is blocked by Kaminsky, recovered by Harrell. Duke races across the midfield line with a chance to tie. Skinnarko, foul line over to Gene Banks, spinning against Wright, puts up the shot now. Instead, lays off to Kaminsky, 12-footer is up, good! We have a tie score, 66, with 5 minutes, 55 seconds left in the second half.
Once again, the Quakers challenge Kaminsky, and they're letting him go in on Kaminsky, and he just rejected the shot. And the Quakers call time now, and the Duke players come running off the bench. And the Quakers just not playing very smart basketball at all in that last sequence. They tried to do 4 times, but they couldn't do once. And although it's been working when Bobby Willis has been doing it, the reason it has is because Kaminsky comes out on Willis, and you have somebody trailing the play in order to get that pass off. And just in the last sequence, the Quakers had nobody trailing. You just went for the ball and got it.
John, the difference here is the fact that the Quakers are putting the shot up against Kaminsky rather than dumping it off for an easy 10 footer. There's got to be a man open. When you get around somebody else, and Kaminsky has to come out and guard you, there's got to be somebody open for an easy shot. But instead, the Quakers are putting up the drive, and Kaminsky is blocking everything in sight.
Yep, blocked 4 shots in a row, and that gave the Blue Devils 8 straight points, and they came down and converted every time. So the Quakers are going to have to come out here and just play a little bit more disciplined basketball. In fact, they were moving it around very well. It's just that they got inside, and Kaminsky, you know, it's nice to have a guy who's 6'11 in there.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. One of Kaminsky's strengths, as he is showing here tonight, is his shot blocking. He just stands there at 6'11, lets anybody come in, and Kaminsky, a la Bill Russell, is blocking everything that he sees. With 5 minutes and 47 seconds left here at the Providence Civic Center, the score is Pennsylvania 66, Duke 66. It'll be 10 ball at midcourt.
Okay, the Quakers are sending out Tony Price now. Jimmy Smith and Kevin McDonald, as Matt White has left the game, replaced by, I believe, Tony Price.
Quakers are going to work with a short lineup. They've done that for most of the ball game. It's called
3-point lead at 71-68. And another thing we're going to have to check out is if at all possible.
Bob Bender dribbling in the left corner against Tom Crowley. Spins against Crowley and throws back out to Denard. Play to catch with Bender. Bender at the top of the circle, guarded by Crowley. They're going to have a foul on Tommy Crowley, and that'll send Bob Bender to the line for a 1-1.
Exactly what they want to do. Bob Bender, 76% foul shooter, which, believe it or not, is not one of their better foul shooters below their average. They shoot slightly over 78% as a team, which is slightly incredible. But they get into a foul shooting battle. I have a feeling the Quakers are going to end up on the short end.
Bob Bender on the line, ready to put up the first. It's up and in and out, rebounded by Matt White, who has entered the game for the Quakers. Outlet to Tommy Crowley, racing across the midcourt line, dribbling to the top of the circle. Now around Bender, the Timmy Smith right corner jumper is up, in and out, rebounded by Bender. A big miss there by Timmy Smith. Bender off by Sam Green, and we got a foul on Sam Green, and once again, Bender will go to the line.
Well, again, I don't see that sort of foul, because they do the same thing to the Quakers, and they haven't called any fouls all game on that sort of play. But let's get off of that topic, and once again, the Quakers are playing the type of game side. You really don't want to see them. That wasn't a really very good shot. I like Timmy taking that shot when he's wide open. He really wasn't in that situation, and I'd like to see Kevin coming back in the next couple of seconds, if possible. We need someone in there who's going to get that hot hand. It's the first of two. The Quakers are down by 5 with only 3:02 to go.
We're definitely going to have to see Kevin McDonald, as White Hour is talking to him on the bench. He will probably report in the next possible moment. Bender puts up the bonus. It's good. Duke leads by 6, 74-68. McDonald reporting to the scorer's table. Dan Green returns to Bobby Willis in the backcourt. Crossing in the corner line, dribbling against Bender. Willis dribbling to the foul line. Stops there, throws top of the circle to Green. He drove left side to Tony Price. Price driving the key. Hook pass to Timmy Smith. Goes off the hands of Mike Kaminsky, and it'll be Quaker ball.
Quite obviously off the hands of Kaminsky. And now Matt White's going to leave, replaced by Kevin McDonald. A good move while the Quakers are still on offense.
Inbounding the ball for the Quakers will be Bobby Willis. He's been the Quakers' best player here tonight. Willis inbounds right corner to Green, and Green brings it out against Sinarco. And now we're going to have an offensive foul call against Sam Green, John. I can't believe it.
I can't either, especially since he moved right into Sam Green. And the refereeing in this game has been rather atrocious.
Sam Green just picks up his fifth personal foul. He leaves the game, and quite possibly that could be the last basketball action of Sam Green in his undergraduate career. He is, of course, a graduating senior. And unless the Quakers put on a charge here, the way they're playing, they're going to go down to the field. I'm sorry to say, John.
Well, let's not rule it out. I mean, while we were talking before of how good the Quakers look, it's really, I think, the Quakers that have gotten Duke back into this game with a big assist from the referees. And I don't really think Duke is playing that well. I mean, they're still missing shots. They're getting more fouls. But, I mean, the big difference in this game is at the foul line.
That's correct, John. As we said so often, Duke has the advantage of the foul line, shooting about 78.5% of the year, the number one free throw shooting team in the nation. Sinarco passing across the midfield line to Denard. Back to Bender. Way outside, dribbling against Crowley. Bender dribbling to the right side. Holds on. Top of the circle to Denard. Denard looking for a pass. Now dribbles once and hands to Banks. Guarded by Timmy Smith. Banks way outside on the right side. And he's fouled by Timmy Smith. And Eugene Banks will go to the line for 1-1.
Well, Timmy wasn't very happy about that. He thought he had all ball. But, I mean, that's the third on Timmy. And that's obviously the type of call they're going to make. And as I said earlier in the game, that if they make that type of call against the Quakers are in deep trouble. Because they rely on very close, tight man-to-man defense most of the time, which relies on trying to slap the ball away. And if they're going to call it on every play that's even close, it's going to be tough. If Gene hits the first of two, Banks a 69% foul shooter.
I was just going to say before he hit that shot that if there was a man to foul on the court for Duke, it's Gene Banks. He's the worst shooter of the five players in the court, but he hits both. 76-68, Bobby Walsh with the ball on his own backcourt. Crossing the midcourt line with 2 minutes and 25 seconds left. Between the legs dribble, comes up with an 18-footer, it's up and good! Bobby Walsh, 28-footer from the right side, takes his trail by 6, 76-70. Now the focus is on his own pressure is Banks. Towards the Denard, still in his own backcourt, guarded by McDonald. Spinning against McDonald, almost the backcourt, now holds on way outside, left side to Banks. To a cross-court defender, spinning against Crowley on the top of the circle. Holds on there and goes back out to Denard. Denard to Banks, left side over to Kaminsky, head of the circle. Right side to now Kaminsky, a scoring shot is up no good. Banks, the follow is good. You've got a back shot, Eugene Banks. They didn't do it there, and he put in the easy layup. Bobby Willis quickly across the neutral line, stops in the top of the key over to Tony Price, spinning on the foul line. Pass to Tom Crowley, 20 foot to right side is good. Tom Crowley with a long shot, and now Quaker signal for a timeout with 1 minute and 42 seconds left. They trail by 6.
All right, the Quakers still have 3 timeouts after that point. Now the Quakers realize they're getting into a last 2 minute situation. They're going to call timeout after every basket they score. And the Quakers now wisely going with a strategy. I really think they should have gone to even when they had the lead, going for the outside to the good open outside shots with their fine shooting guards, Bobby Willis and Tommy Crowley, rather than trying to challenge the big man inside. And Mike Kaminsky, I would have to say, is the difference in this game. Even though Spadarko's played reasonably well, I don't think Banks has played really all that well. But Mike Kaminsky in there, starts defensively and rebounding, and totally taking away any offensive rebounds. I really can't even think of any offensive rebounds the Quakers have right now.
No, and of course, the Quakers sitting Matt White down don't have much of a chance of getting offensive rebounds. They are far outmatched in the height department. The tallest player on the court for the Quakers is 6'6", Tony Price, and as you said, he's been set up the boards by Kaminsky and the other Duke players. And, John, you're right. Mike Kaminsky was the difference in this ball game. At the point where the Quakers had the lead, they went to a strange strategy, trying to get around the Duke guards, the Duke forwards, and challenging Kaminsky, and Kaminsky met the challenge every time.
That's true, Bruce. But the thing is, you know, the Quakers still have 1:42, and they're only down by 6. If you recall the Providence Civic Center, the Quakers did it with a bigger lead against Providence. They cut a 10-point lead in about this amount of time.
Well, that's true, Johnny. You never give up until the final buzzer has gone off. Duke will inbound underneath their own basket in the backcourt. Denard will be inbounding for the Blue Devils. He'll be hawked by Tony Price on the baseline, looking for the outlet pass. Almost a 5-step call. Now inbounds to Spadarko, and he's fouled by Tony Price, and they are calling everything.
Definitely, and, you know, what can you do in that sort of situation? It may have been a little bit of contact, but they're really giving Duke a lot of protection this game. They're not very strong ball handlers, and the way they're getting it out of the backcourt is by being fouled. I really think that the Quaker press would stop Duke if they hadn't called fouls every time it was used.
That's definitely correct, Johnny. Unfortunately, I don't know where these referees are from, but wherever they're from, they play a different brand of basketball out there. As Duke Spadarko will go to the line, he'll be shooting the one and one. He's Duke's second-best foul shooter on the year. His first is up and good, hits the front rim and bounced in. Not only are they getting the foul shots, but they're getting the rim, too.
Duke's definitely getting the breaks today. They've hit a lot of shots and rolled around and in. Spadarko, an excellent foul shooter, hits both, so they still have an 8-point lead with 1:40 to go. The Quakers have to hurry.
Bobby Willis quickly across the midcourt line, dribbling at the head of the circle against the Duke zone, comes up with an 18-footer right side. It's good. Bobby Willis just taking over for the Quakers, and Duke, again, works against the Quakers' zone pressure. With the ball in the backcourt, his tender, his pass is almost stolen by the Quakers, now recovered by Price. Bobby Willis tries to keep it, up a crazy shot, it's up, and no good. Rebounded by Sender. That was not a good shot by Willis. Now the ball is taken the right corner to by Denard. He throws to Banks. He'll drive the left of the floor and force puts up, and no good, but we got a foul on Bobby Willis. He prevented the dunk by Gene Banks, however.
Yeah, I wish Bobby hadn't taken that shot that he did in the lane. Unfortunately, the Quakers had Tom Crowley, I believe, was standing just all alone in that corner for his shot, but Willis decided to challenge, and he just had trouble. It was a very off-balance shot for Bobby, and it came down the other way. It was good play by him to break up a dunk attempt to get them over the rim, and Banks now is going to have to shoot foul shots, but the Quakers are running out of time at this point.
That's the thing, and that's why Willis maybe wasn't aware of the time, and he put up a bad shot. He would have had time to make at least one pass for a better shot. Unfortunately, he didn't, as Banks hit the first.
Okay, it's 81-74 with 1:10 to go, and the Quakers, although looking good on defense, on offense, just can't stop Duke from coming down and scoring.
Willis dribbling at the head of the circle, spinning against of the Duke. Now throws up the Timmy Smith. Left side shot is hit and out. Rebounded by Tony Crowley to foul line. Downward of Price goes off the hands of Kaminsky and it'll be Quaker ball.
Only 57 seconds left. The Quakers at this point have to go to an all-foul strategy as far as I see it, even though I don't think it's going to really work against Duke. They have to press and try to get foul, force foul shots.
Well, it's inbounds and Smith goes off the leg of Spinocchio and Quakers maintain possession only 2 seconds off the clock on that play.
In any event, Bruce, no matter how this turns out, I think the Quakers put on a very inspired performance while being in foul trouble almost the entire game.
Inbounds comes to play. 15-footer up, way off the mark, rebounded by Banks. Comes out with a dribble to his own left corner and outlets to Bernard. He crosses the midcourt line. Bounce pass, defender over to Kaminsky. One shot is good. Mike Kaminsky slams on. This leads by 8, 82-74. Quakers call for a timeout.
Quakers really should have brought it across half court before they made that call, and Bob Linehour is very unhappy about that. Bob Linehour is very unhappy right now in general. I think, well, are they going to call a technical? I think they might be calling a technical on the Quakers. Well, no, they're going to call it on Duke. What? Okay, we'll just have to see. He hung on to the rim. Mike Kaminsky hung on to the rim. So really, they should roll the clock back about 5 seconds.
Well, that's true. Tom Crowley misses the foul shot. The Quakers just aren't getting the breaks where they need them.
Well, I'll have the ball with 42 seconds left, and they're going to give it to him at half court. So the Quakers just can pray at this point, basically.
Timmy Smith at midcourt. Look down to Crowley. The 20 points. Face on Kaminsky. Now puts up his shot. It's no good. He follows good. But before that, we got a foul. And it's going to be on Gene Banks. I think it'll send 20 points to the line.
Well, for the Quakers, an excellent season. It looks at this point as they're going to lose, barring a miracle by the Quakers. Tony's going to go to the line at this point to shoot two. They're going to end up, should they lose this game, 20-8, their best season of the last three seasons. And for the seniors, it's sorry to see them go in this manner. The seniors who really helped the team through the past, Kevin McDonald, who I think should be a almost certain draft pick in one of the early rounds. Tom Crowley, a fine shooter. Stan Green, always known for his spurt offense and good defense.
Tony Price hits both foul shots. Quakers trail by 8, 84-76. Spinocchio quickly across the midcourt line, dumps it off the bank. Takes on McDonald, goes back up to Bender over the bank for a corner. 30 seconds left in this ballgame. Spinocchio cross court to Bernard, guarded by McDonald, over to Bender, guarded by Willis. Way outside. Gets around Willis, stops at the top of the circle over the bank's left side. 20 seconds left. Banks loses the ball against Smith, but before that, a foul against the Quakers is going to be on Tony Crowley, sending Eugene Banks to the line for a 1-1.
Gene Banks has looked good down the stretch, although he took some awful shots during parts of the game, and now down the stretch, though, he started to hit. He hit his foul shots, hit at least three pairs of clutch foul shots, and a couple of floaters through the air. So Gene Banks did come through for the Blue Devils and got his points at the end of the game.
Kaminsky, full offensive goaltending on a missed foul shot by Banks. He had it on the rim. Well, you could say it's a break for the Quakers, obviously, but with only 19 seconds left, they trail by 8. They're going to have to do things fast. Bobby Willis across the midcourt line at the top of the circle, faking on Bender, driving to the right side, across to McDonald, faking on Kaminsky. His scoop shot is blocked by Kaminsky, followed by Price. Is no good. Price rebounding again. Looks shot over Kaminsky is up, and no good. Rebounded by McDonald. Shot good, and a foul.
Unfortunately, they ran the clock down to 3 seconds before it hit. So the one, you know, one good thing as far as if you're listening to this game for one purpose, it probably means that the Quakers are going to beat the spread. But unfortunately for the Quakers, it's just not enough. As they played well enough to win this game, and you know, with this type of score, I'm sure you're going to see that it was pretty much the refereeing that did it. As the Quakers had the chances, but they just couldn't do it.
Price's shot at the buzzer is good, and the game is over. The final score here at the Providence Civic Center. Duke 84, Quakers 80, and we will be back after this.
Sheldon.
Forget it, lady. You just don't rent to women with kids and no husband.
Landlords can get away with this right now. The Fair Housing for Women Coalition wants to stop them. If you've been turned away from renting a house or apartment because you are a single or divorced woman with children, call 004-6282. We cannot find you an apartment, but we are working to change the law. The number again is 004-6282.
Okay. back at the Providence Civic Center, where the Quaker basketball season has ended in a very upsetting score. 84-80, Quakers lose by 4 to the Duke Blue Devils, but they played a magnificent ball game. They were in it for the entire game, and they even had an 8-point lead in the middle of the second half. This is Bruce Rudin, back with John Bart, Stan Lane, Tony Ossari to wrap up the action here in the Quakers basketball season. Stan, what are your comments on tonight's game?
Bruce, I don't know, it's hard at this point. You know, we've been doing this for a while, the three of us, and it's all over. And I really thought that Penn had their best shot this freshman year when they had an excellent shot. They had a great team, they were hurt by injuries. They came out flat against K-State, Kansas State, and they lost. Today, they opened up the second half with a 13-point burst. And it looked like they were going to do the pursuit, but they did the same body. And then they tried to throw it up. They went stall. The guards started to drive the hoop, but what can you say? Kaminsky came up big. He stuffed a couple of shots. He stuffed Crowley once. He stuffed Lewis twice. He stuffed somebody else once. And that was it. Duke got into the ball game. They got a lead, and the Quakers didn't recover. You look at the scoreboard, 84-80, and all you can say is, you know, it was tied with 1 second to go in the first half. And Penn went into the dressing room down by 4, 44-40. They lost 4 points in 1 second in the first half. But I don't really know what else to say about it. You know, Tony Price had a great game. He finished with 17 points. Bobby Willis had probably his best game ever for Pennsylvania. He finished with 16. Kevin Mitchell, he was played by fouls. Tony had 10, but he had 37 against St. Bonnie in the first game. And, I don't know what to say. It's all over.
Yeah, it is, Stan. And I wouldn't be very surprised if Bobby Weinauer had some disparaging remarks about the refereeing in this game. The refereeing just took the Quakers totally out of the game. And it just went really bad for the Quakers if they just didn't allow any close plays to be made, basically. The Quakers' defense, they allowed the hitting to go on inside. However, outside, they weren't allowing it at all. And, of course, with Duke having a big height advantage inside and the strength advantage is going to help them. And with the Quakers having the quick guards, the quick hands, and the better ball handling, that type of refereeing is just going to destroy the Quakers on the outside. I think the Quakers totally outplayed the Blue Devils, and that's about all I can say. Offensively, there's no question in my mind that the Quakers pretty much did what they wanted to do. They got beat by Mike Kaminsky on a series of 4 successive blocks and a whole bunch of foul shots.
Kaminsky was really the story. I don't know if he was the high scorer for the Blue Devils, but he definitely was the player of the game for them. At the key point of the game, when the Blue Devils trailed by 8, Kaminsky came up and did a great job with 4 successive blocks, and for that alone, he's got to make my all-opponent team at the center spot, just for what he did on defense here tonight. You know, it's so sad to lose in this way. It was such a different story last year, where the Quakers weren't really in the running as much this year. Your season ends much earlier, and it's not as climatic, if you will. But now the Quakers came here, and they played a whale of a ball game here at the Providence Civic Center. They got beat by an excellent Duke club, but they also got beat by the referees a little bit, Stan.
Well, Bruce, we'll run down the unofficial final stats. I've got Banks for 21, Harrell for 6, Denard for 8. Denard had 4 fouls in the first half and hung on for the whole second half. Denard had 21. Kaminsky 14, but his defense was the key. Bender had 8. Coach had 2. Smith had 2. Morrison had 2. Gray did not score. Dylan Hardy didn't play for the Quakers. Jimmy Smith had his set probably his best game of the year. He had 13 points. Tommy Crowley had 12. Stan Green had 6. Matt White had 6. Bobby Walsh had 16. Tony Price had 17. And I think he saw the Quakers fans something to look for next year because Tony Price is a dominant force, and so is Tim Smith, and Tony will be back. He had 17 points. Kevin McDonald, he had 10 points, but his contribution to the Quakers goes beyond the buckets they scored. He probably led the Quakers in assists today. He had 37 against St. Bonnie to put the Quakers in this game, and he finishes his career as perhaps the greatest Penn Quaker of all time. I don't know. I look up at that scoreboard. It's 84-80, and nothing's going to change it. We won't be back, but this team will. They graduate 3 players. They graduate Crowley and Green in the backcourt. They've got a couple of excellent freshmen in Jackson and Kenny Hall. Walter Jackson and Kenny Hall to replace them.
They lose Kevin McDonald. We'll look for more from Tony Price next year. And who knows? The Ivy League should be more competitive next year. And we can only hope that next year the Quakers will do it. Before we leave the air, we're not quite through yet. The best wishes from the XPN broadcast crew to the Villanova guys. They pulled out a tremendous one-point come-from-behind win against Indiana today. And the Big Five was, what, 4 points away from an all-Philly Eastern Final. So we're all rooting for Villanova on Sunday.
That really would have been great if we would have had a rematch in the East Regional Final of the Penn-Villanova game. The last time they played in the East Regional Final was the 1971 season. The Quakers had a disaster in that year. But in this season, the Quakers have just had a magnificent season. But one thing I've got to say, University of Pennsylvania, I think, should stay out of Providence. They have so much trouble up here. They lost the Providence Friars here at the Providence Civic Center early in January. They got wrecked in that game. They got wrecked here tonight. Nobody's going to argue with me on that point. The Quakers went up to play Brown. They had to go through 42-inch snow. They had to go through an ice storm to play Providence. They had to go through a rainstorm to play the Brown football team. This is not the city for the Red and Blue.
Definitely not, Bruce. But let's just concentrate now that they have lost, now the season is over. On the bright spot, you got to remember that coming off what last year was a very disappointing season for people who had predicted the Quakers to be in the top 20. They went tonight against the team ranked fifth in the country. They looked excellent. They looked like they were a better team. And should the foul situation have worked differently, should Kaminsky have gotten in trouble rather than the Quaker big men, I think that the Quakers defeated the Blue Devils by 10, 20 points in this game without that big man in the middle over there. The rest of the Quaker team will be back next year. I think the Quakers still will be the team to beat, even losing everything Kevin McDonald, who just played three outstanding years for the University of Pennsylvania. And it's just that this year, as far as I'm concerned, even at this point, went far beyond my original expectations. Nobody thought at the beginning that we would beat Princeton. We beat them twice. We lost to Columbia. Everybody thought they would die then. They didn't die then. They went down in this game. They fell behind by 10. They rallied to take the lead by 8. And they just finally lost it. I mean, they got to the point where they were just playing with a skeleton crew out there and a very tired team that was at the end of the game. Jimmy Smith and Tony Price were just exhausted at the end of this one. So let's give our best wishes to all the seniors who are going to be leaving this team. As Dan mentioned, Tommy Crowley, Stan Green, and Kevin McDonald. I have my personal feeling that I think we're going to be seeing Kevin in the NBA next year, and I wish all the best to him. To whatever the other two go into, we wish the best to them. And to all our listeners, as this is the final of all of our last broadcasts here on WXPN, we'd like to thank everybody who's listened to us for the last 3 years, and I personally just want to thank everybody for the opportunity to broadcast these games over the last couple of years.
You know, you bring up all the seniors. You just can't say enough about Kevin McDonald. He's worked so hard this year. He's improved his ball handling, and he's going to be an asset to any team in the NBA. He didn't have a good game here tonight, all right, but on Sunday against St. Bonaventure, he was magnificent. He was magnificent all year. He's been magnificent throughout his career. And McDonald, I'm sure, will make a fine pro, and hopefully he'll get drafted high, and hopefully he'll make the club that he's drafted by. Quakers, of course, have not had much success in drafted ball. Those two University of Pennsylvania alumni have made the NBA and been successful, possible exception of Sparky Calhoun. But I look for a good pro career for Kevin McDonald. The story in the second half was this. Duke shot 57.7%, and Quakers shot 48.6%. That is not a second half field goal shooting percentage for the Quakers fan. They usually hover around the 60% mark in a good game. And this is a good game for the Quakers. Unfortunately, they didn't shoot quite well enough to beat the Blue Devils.
Well, Quakers missed 8 foul shots. Duke missed 6-7 foul shots. So the Quakers did not lose it at the foul line. And that just about wraps things up. I'd like to thank our engineer, well, Bruce, one more thing.
I'll let you wrap it up, Sam, because you're the director. I just want to say that I'm also a graduating senior, and it's been a pleasure to broadcast for WXPN for these last 3 years. A pleasure to watch both the football and basketball teams come into some disappointing moments like this one tonight, and some successes like the game of St. Bonaventure and other big wins in the football and basketball teams last 3 seasons. And I'd like to send my best wishes to all the graduating seniors on the Quaker team and all the graduating seniors on the XPN staff. And also my best wishes to the returning players on the football and basketball squad. Football season showed a lot of promise.
this year. We look for a good season next year. And the basketball team also should have a good season. They got a lot of top returning players and maybe a few recruits who will be back in the NCAA.
There are two things I want to mention before we wrap this up, Bruce. I don't think we can close things up, please. I don't think we can close things up without saying one. I would like to thank, at this moment, this is my last chance, the football coach at the University of Pennsylvania, Harry Gamble. Nobody in the world could have been more cooperative than us in the 3 years that we've been doing this than Harry Gamble. That's one. I'd like to say best wishes to the Quaker hockey players who are leaving the university and transferring as a result of the decision to drop the program. I want you to know how we felt about that decision and what we felt about you and the credit that you were to the university, and we wish you only the best. I think we'll wrap things up by congratulating Bob Weinauer, the Quakers coach, on a very successful season, his rookie season as head coach. You know, there was a whole different attitude change around the Quaker basketball program this year. I think that's attributed to the maturing of some of the players and also to the guidance of Coach Bob Weinauer and his staff. Bob Stack and Ron Hager did a great job. And as we wrap things up for the final time, I'd like to thank our engineer back at the studio, Lance Fife. And I just want to say that I've had a great time doing this for 3 years. And if we've made 10 sports exciting, for the people out there who listen, and I know there are a lot of people, a lot of alumni out there who listen, people in Philadelphia, Northeast Philadelphia, people down in Delaware County, our number one sports fan, Jerry, who calls us all the time, all the people who listen to 10 sports, if we've made it exciting for you, then it's been successful. I think it's been exciting, and we've had a great time. So for the last time, from the Civic Center in Providence, Rhode Island, this has been Tony Terry, Bruce Rudin, John Bart, my name is Stan Lane, and this has been a WXPN sports presentation. I would like to thank, at this moment, this is my last chance, the football coach at the University of Pennsylvania, Harry Gamble. Nobody in the world could have been more cooperative than us in the 3 years that we've been doing this than Harry Gamble. That's one. I'd like to say best wishes to the Quaker hockey players who are leaving the university and transferring as a result of the decision to drop the program. I want you to know how we felt about that decision and what we felt about you and the credit that you were to the university, and we wish you only the best. I think we'll wrap things up by congratulating Bob Weinauer, the Quakers coach, on a very successful season, his rookie season as head coach.
You know, there was a whole different attitude change around the Quaker basketball program this year. I think that's attributed to the maturing of some of the players and also to the guidance of Coach Bob Weinauer and his staff, Bob Stack and Ron Hager, who did a great job. And as we wrap things up for the final time, I'd like to thank our engineer back at the studio, Lance Fife. And I just want to say that I've had a great time doing this for 3 years. And if we've made Penn Sports exciting for the people out there who listen, and I know there are a lot of people, a lot of alumni out there who listen, people in Philadelphia, Northeast Philadelphia, people down in Delaware County, our number one sports fan, Jerry, who calls us all the time, all the people who listen to Penn Sports, if we've made it exciting for you, then it's been successful. And I think it's been exciting, and we've had a great time. So for the last time, from the Civic Center in Providence, Rhode Island, this has been Tony O'Carey.